How you guys doing? You guys doing all right? Yeah. Awesome. Good to see you guys. Great to see you guys. Man, I just want to say, man, I sure love you guys, man. I really mean that. My son loves this. My son said I could move to Hong Kong. So he was bummed he couldn't be here. My wife as well, she sends her love. But what you guys have, and this is something that I think, you know, they say if you want to know the condition of the aquarium, do not ask the fish. That's like a wise saying, because they're too close to it. They need another set of eyes. And I said that to say, you really need to understand, you guys have something very special here. Very special. There's there is a hunger in this house. There's a genuineness. There's a love for Jesus. There's a sense that you want to impact the nations. A friend of mine said that has mentored me in evangelism. He says, Sean, there are churches of hundreds that have the strength of thousands and churches of thousands that appear like hundreds. You guys are the church of hundreds that have the strength of thousands. And so, man, you got teams going to Uzbekistan. Is that right? Is that how you say it? Man, all over the world, man. You got a worship team going. What is it? Where you guys going? Taiwan? Cambodia, my bad. That's so cool. We got YWAM students here, man, and just great, great stuff going on. You guys, anyone who wasn't here this Sunday, a couple things. One, my name is Sean Smith, and I just love Jesus. But I also have a great friend of mine who is a worship leader. He's going to be leading worship next Sunday because the team is going to be in Cambodia, right, worship team. Great friend of mine, Kurt Dunaway. He is just a great friend, great brother, loves the Lord. He is a marketplace businessman and minister. And so we both go to the same church, New Life, and there are multiple worship teams. And Kurt leads one of the worship teams, and he is just a phenomenal brother. And so you get a chance, talk to him, hang around him, have him pray for you. We're going to do it. Now, this is my thought, and you guys totally, you know, you can move in and out as you want. I'm going to teach and equip for a while, then have a question and answer, then maybe teach a little bit more and then flow as God would allow me. And you flow too. I mean, we're going to flow together, right? It's the Holy Spirit and it's a river. We all get caught up in that. And so if that sounds good to you guys, we'll go that route. And I have like, I'm shaking on the inside, and you need to understand that. I always, before I speak, there's always this, I'm not like this accomplished speaker, so there's always an anxiousness, but that's not what this is. This is the Holy Spirit is here shake going on in the inside of me, so he's about to bust out, all right? Can we just tell you that? He's about to, come on, y'all smile. Don't get nervous in the service, you guys smiling, having a good time. We've had great time here, and I just want to thank everyone that has hosted us, taken us around. Many of you have taken us on previous trips. My family took a day off work to just show us your city and different meals, and man, so awesome. You guys are phenomenal in that. All right, I want to talk to you about one of my favorite subjects. In fact, I'll say it like this. If you're taking notes, this is a good time to start, okay? There is no more important subject than the power of God over the power of the enemy. There is going to be no greater sermon. The cross is, in fact, the greatest sermon, and the cross is about the triumph of the power of light over the powers of darkness. And what the supernatural dimension is, it's a demonstration and a showing forth of God's supremacy. That God rules over this world. He rules over sickness. He rules over the weather, the natural laws. That God is above all of that. And when you talk about the kingdom of God, literally in the Old Testament or New Testament, what it really means is the rule of God. That God is sovereign. That he stands, he sits. There's one verse, I love it. He sits upon the flood. That means when the absolute worst calamity the world has ever known, right? Even worse than the current economic condition, is it shaking, is the flood. And he sat enthroned during the time of the flood. And so God is God. He's sovereign. And I really believe that the only way that we're going to reach this generation is that we must be supernaturally equipped with the power of God. Some people kind of ask this question, And I'm going to just slide this over. I'm running over your flip-flops. I'm sorry about that. Okay. Some people ask the question whether or not, and this is a wrong assumption. There's a little bit of a ring. I don't know if that's... it's like, here's what they want to do with the supernatural. And I think that's terrible when people do that. Can I just be straight with you? We'll just come right out, be straight. It's kind of like fruit or gifts. Like, you have to make a choice. Here's what people say, because they feel like it's more holy to say it. I would rather have fruits, Sean, than gifts. Right? That's what they're saying. Now, I hear what they're saying, right? I hear what they're saying. But to really be like Jesus, the Bible says, we're going to look at this verse, as he is, so are we too in the world. Jesus didn't just walk in fruits. He walked in gifts. So the question here is, would you rather have a fruit tree, right? A little fruit on it. That's a cue. There's a fruit. All right. Those look like little cherry bombs. That's what they look like. Okay. Would you rather have that, or would you rather want to have, you know, a Christmas tree with presents around it? Those are like presents. They're not rocks. Those are presents, right? Would you rather have a fruit tree or a Christmas tree with presents underneath it? And my response to you is, I would rather have a fruit tree with presents underneath. I want both. That's what I'm saying to you, right? When it comes to this thing of fruit or gifts, I think it's ridiculous because really, and I probably took too much time to write that up. Bottom line is, it's not either or, it's both and more. That God wants us to be like him. As he is, so are you too, right? We're going to look at this scripture. Before we do that, let me just do one thing that I got to tell you about, and we're going to dive in this. If you would go to Acts 19. We have some quick product. I just want to talk a couple now, and I'll talk a couple later, that I think will help you if you're here. One is sanctifying your imagination, and this is a series on, some people say they would like to receive direction from God more clearly, that they struggle, that it's kind of like the waters get muddied, that they don't have clarity when they want to hear the voice of God or sense his leading or get a picture of what God has. Sanctifying your imagination is a real simple principle. The Bible says in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. That if your heart is pure, it's natural to see God. So it's not difficult. You don't have to become spiritual to hear the voice of God. You were created to hear the voice of God from the jump, right? He breathed in the dirt. He breathed his breath into dirt. And it says that person became a living soul or a living nephesh. You are created in the image of God, meaning you have the hardware to hear God, right? So what you got to do is get away all the stuff that clouds you from hearing God. So what does the enemy try to do? He comes to bring impurity, right? Comes to bring impurity. When we were walking around Kowloon, that night I had some crazy dreams, and I know exactly what that's about. You may not understand it, you may whatever, but it was cleansing dreams or shedding dreams, that I was walking around people that I was carrying like different spirits on them, and kind of sometimes your spirit sheds that in a dream. It's not that you was thinking that thoughts. It's like, man, that stuff got on you, man. And I had them kind of picking up that stuff because purity is important to me. I'm not 100% pure. You guys know that. That goes without saying. But purity is very important because if you're going to be prophetic, you have to be pure. So the enemy works on you, right? I mean, this is a Bible study. We're being straight through pornography, through unclean thoughts, any of that kind of stuff. Because in that, it clouds you, right? Or fantasy. That's another major one that is an enemy of being prophetic. And this whole generation is really, you know, again, I'm not trying to say, you know, don't let your kids or future kids play video games or anything. I'm not making a statement. But you see these kids, they are so stuck on this, like, whatever it is in fantasy and the World of Warcraft and all that kind of craziness going on. That fantasy thing, and back in my day, it was probably... what was it, Dungeons and Dragons or something like that, because they didn't have the technology, you know, back in the day, you know, people role-playing. Fantasy clouds your imagination as well, and then past bad experiences. The enemy wants you to rehash how you've been hurt, how you've been wounded, how your parents didn't love you, how et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not trying to sound insensitive in saying that, because that would be my story, but the Lord wants us to be free in those areas so we receive from God. So this sanctifying your imagination is a 3-CD set And it says, let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you would know the hope of your calling, surpassing greatness of power directed towards you, the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints in Christ Jesus. So notice what Paul said. I pray that your eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. It's really translated in the original. I'm talking fast, but I'm about to slow down. It really is translated the eyes of your imagination. May the eyes of your imagination be enlightened that you may know. In other words, when your imagination is pure, you know stuff. That's the whole premise of this. Okay? Now, I'm not just trying to sell a product. I'm trying to teach in the process. So if you don't get it, you at least got that. You guys with me? All right. Good, good, good. And then this one I wanted to talk about because I think this is important. I have been on this like 24-year quest on the gifts of the Spirit. And I'll explain to you, and we're going to talk about this. But I put together a 3.5-4 CD set on the gifts of God, and it's the gift of prophecy, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, gift of faith, and working of miracles. And part of this grew out of a frustration. I was frustrated that psychics, shaman, tarot card readers, Wiccan, all them folks was taking glory away from God because we weren't operating in the gift, and it's like the occult is the unpaid bills of the church. We're not operating in that. In supernatural power, they're created. You're created with supernatural hunger. So if we don't walk in that, the people out there, their problems have outpaced science and technology. The skill to live modern life has leaped off the natural plane into the supernatural plane. If we don't give them spiritual food to eat, they're going to get it from someplace else. So let me tell you, anytime I talk about the supernatural, it relates back to looking like Jesus so I can win the harvest. That if you got the right motives and you got the right purpose, miracles are easy. If you don't remember anything else I'm telling you tonight, remember this. If your motives is pure, you want to look like Jesus and you want to win people to the Lord, right? And you'll step out. You're going to see miracles. You're going to see this. Early in my campus ministry, I was a student, University of Pacific, and I am starting now, and we're going to look in Acts 19. My campus pastor, the Lord would use him. And he was kind of unique in that day. He would get a word on, and it's going to sound crazy to other people, but he would get a word when people had sin in their life, right? I mean, he just had this ability to pick that thing up. So I was a new Christian, man. Like, say this is our building. It was like a chem lab. I had chemistry in college. I had a periodical table of elements. It was actually the room I gave my life to the Lord called the Z Building. I would stand on the outside of the door as a student, before I would go into our college meeting, I would repent of all my sins. I'm like, God, don't let that man call me out right now, Lord. I repent of that. Cover me with the blood. Wash me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I repent. Never do it again. And I walk in, hug all the college kids, sit down, and like, oh, he'd get started. And so I actually think the prophetic gift is, you know, its usage is different. We'll talk about that. But it put the fear of God in me, but he also was used in healing, and I would see some healing, and so it really made me hungry, and I would feel the presence of God intensify in our meetings. And again, when you're young in the Lord, you don't have all the understanding. All I know is that, man, we would sing with all our hearts. He would preach the word of God. People would give their life to the Lord, and man, then, man, boom, I would feel like this explosion. And I remember sitting back and I'd be crying and I didn't even know why I was crying. It wasn't that I was sad. I like felt God, you know? And it's like I wanted to stay the night in the lab, like God wouldn't go with me, right? I wanted to stay in the chem laboratory because the glory of the Lord was there. And I said, God, I would do anything to be in the presence of your glory, the tangible expression of the nature and personality of God. That's how I define the glory. I would do anything. And I told the Lord, and God, you know, hears those things. And you know what? The anointing is costly, okay? Let's just say that. The anointing is costly to maintain. I mean, Jesus died on the cross. He releases the anointing. But for you to walk in that and grow in it, it's going to cost you something, right? You can nod your head on that. That's a true statement. That's not a trick question. It's going to cost you something. But I decided then and there, God, I would do anything to experience your glory. I'll do anything. And so what I learned right off the bat was how important hunger and appreciation is that if you really want to grow in the supernatural, you need to be a person who is hungry and you need to be a person who expresses gratitude to the Lord. Your praise is a reflection of the level of your gratitude. Do you really praise God? Some people treat worship like it's a warm-up act. Like back in the day, again, before I got saved, every Christmas, Earth, Wind, and Fire would come to the Oakland Coliseum. And I would save up all my money, redeem aluminum cans, bottles. But before the Earth, Wind, and Fire would start, Maurice White and all them dudes, they'd have the emotions. Emotions were the warm-up act. A lot of times people wouldn't come to see the emotions. They come in the middle of their set because they really wanted to see Earth, Wind, and Fire. We can't treat worship like the emotions, right? We need to, and that's what I love about this. I'm talking to leaders who've come on a Wednesday night. If you're going to be a revivalist, supernaturalist, citizen that represents the power of God from above, you need to be a worshiper. Why? Because worship expresses a gratitude that attracts God's presence. And when his presence comes, the anointing in Hebrew is a word mashak. It literally means to rub off. So the anointing is you got so close to the Holy Ghost, he rubbed off on you. Now, we know he dwells inside of you. I'm not trying to get theologically weird on you. But the anointing is the rubbed offness of God. You spent time with him. And all of a sudden, people feel that. Charles Finney, man, he prayed under a hollow log. Man, this is an early American revivalist. He prayed in a hollow log for God to fall like in New York City area. And man, when he did, man, he'd walked out in the city and man, God used this guy. He ended up walking into a factory and people had their back to him. Charles Finney walked in. All of a sudden, a woman starts sobbing and she starts crying. And then all of a sudden, people in the factory all quit working, fell on their faces, and the owner of the factory didn't know God, didn't love God. He came in and he said, please, Mr. Finney, preach to my workers. I'm not going to get any work out of these people until you do something. And he preached, and even everyone got saved, and even the owner of the factory gave his life to the Lord. Now, somebody should have got excited about that, by the way. That's a good thing, right? Don't ever think a place is too hard. Don't ever think that. We're dealing with God here, right? We're not trying to sell, like, a product that maybe people may not buy or something. God has a way of influencing people if we will get God on us. People that reject God, they don't know God. So you can't reject a God you don't know. They're rejecting maybe our expression of God. They're rejecting religion. But I think when we give them raw Jesus, it's going to be a whole different area. Here is a scripture I love to stand on and quote, and I want to equip you. So anything I say, if you got a question, hold on to it. We will have Q&A, okay? As you're in Acts 19, I'm just going to give you the scripture. Don't turn to it. I'll give it to you. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to each one for the profit of all. That is one of my scriptures, man. I quote that. I stand up before I walk into a service. I say, God, I put my name in there. God, I thank you that the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to Sean Smith to profit everyone you're sending me to tonight. Do you know what the word manifestation, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to each one for the profit of all. So notice it. The manifestation of the Spirit's given to us. So if the manifestation of the Spirit's given to us, you are a walking manifestation. You are a walking website of www.god.com. That's who you are right now. You're a walking website for God. That our job is to make visible the reality of an invisible God. That's why it can't just be words. I can talk about any world religious leader and use words, and I could probably represent that faith, that belief system adequately. You cannot represent Christianity with words alone. Apostle Paul said, it's not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. Manifestations and demonstrations is Christianity, somebody. Plain and simple. Okay, now let me give you this word. Manifestation of Spirit given to each one for profit of all. Manifestation is the word phanerosis. Phanerosis. It is an important word. If you don't want to write it down, that's cool. But remember the definition. I'll give it to you again. Phanerosis. Phanerosis. It means a making visible or observable. So put that definition in. Fit it in, right? It is. But the manifestation of Spirit, the ability to make visible and observable the reality of the Spirit has been given to each one for the profit of all. That God has given you an ability to make visible and observable the reality of the Spirit of God And it's given to all of us to profit folks. That's what he's given. Okay, now go to Acts 19. We'll read this and we're doing good. It says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. By the way, this is my goal. I want so many miracles flowing out of my life that you got to start using the word unusual miracles, right? And like we got to distinguish, Paul, you walking in miracles every day, you got another level of miracles flowing through your life. Unusual miracles announcing. Like a miracle should already be unusual. He's got unusual activity flowing out of his life. Come on, somebody. Isn't that great? It says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, which the wording of that is perfect. It's God working it, but by the hands of you. God works it, but he wants to use you. Some people say, well, if God wants it done, he'll just do it. Wrong answer. He does want to do it, but he wants to use you. He wants to use you. We talked about that. You can have as much revival as you want. God's not clogging the pipe. We are, okay? So that handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them. Now, notice this. We know unusual miracles, hands of Paul, handkerchiefs and aprons are touching the man, the presence of God, the visible manifestation of the reality of God that's been given to each one. A prophet always so strong on him, the mashach, the rubbing off, that you can get cloths, handkerchiefs, aprons. There is, in other words, there's a tangibleness and the ability to transmit, whatever that is, whatever, of the anointing, praying for it. This goes distances, and people who are sick, when they touch them, are healed. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pull it away from you. Go ahead, touch it. You come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? You know, like sometimes we're struggling whether or not God wants to heal our runny nose. And man, here is somebody, and man, they're going great distances, and man, you know, people are getting healed. You know what? I tell you what our problem is, all right, right here. And this is God began to deal with me. Is the reason why we don't see more miracles is twofold. Number one, reason why we don't see is because, and we talked about it Sunday, we don't take risk. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. We say we believe in a God of miracles, but we're going to see if you really believe because you have to step out, right? And you know what? Love isn't love if you don't demonstrate it, right? It's cruel to say God loves somebody and that you can't demonstrate that love. Or it's cruel for you to say I love you and you never demonstrate that love, right? God's love compels him to move in a way that he demonstrates his reality to people that have needs. Jesus was moved with compassion, healed the sick. So God wants healings to take place through your life. Why? Because he loves you and he loves people that have need. He wants to do this thing. You don't have to twist his arm. So one major problem is we don't take risks. I'll give you three things. Second of all, we try to figure it out. Reason why we're not walking in more miracles, we're trying to figure it out. A Russian study said that we use what, like 5% of our brain, like if you're super smart, 5% of your brain, right? Your brain is a peanut in the infinite, vast cosmos of God's wisdom. We use 5% of our peanut brain, and we think we're going to figure God out? Hello, you better guess again, right? God, any God you can figure out is not God at all. If you figure God out, throw that thing away because that's not God. That's a figment of your imagination. That's what it is. His thoughts above your thoughts. His ways are above our ways. So just get used to it. He's God. You can't figure it out. So Here's another way of saying point two, right? We don't see more miracles. We have too many control freaks. We've been raised to be control freaks since we was a little kid. We got to have everything under our control. You're not going to flow in miracles if that's your mentality. Now, good thing is God's patient with us. I used to be that control freak, so I know what I'm talking about. But God wants you to get to a point where you can trust he's in control. Miracles really are about that. And then third of all, I think we don't see more miracles. And this is what I'm going to talk about tonight. We've not learned to properly partner with the Holy Spirit. If we more properly partner with the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says we're to walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? You can't walk in the Spirit if you don't talk to the Spirit. That's something right there somebody can run with. Just start talking to the Holy Spirit. Get up in the morning and say, Holy Spirit, we're going at it today. We're going into the workforce today. We're hopping in that cab today. Lord, I need you, Holy Spirit. You know, I've been riding in your cabs. You need the Holy Ghost, but you're riding some of these cabs. Talk to him, right? Holy Spirit, you know, what is it I should choose in this situation? Just give me a sense of what you're willing. You can't walk in the Spirit unless you talk to the Spirit. Begin to practice. David Young E. Cho would sit in an empty chair. I remember this in reading his classic book, Prayer, the Key to Revival. He sent an empty chair on his platform, and he wouldn't let anyone sit there because he says the Holy Spirit sits there, right? And some people thought, oh, that's goofy, that's weird, da-da-da-da-da. Hey, the man has over 1 million people in there. I mean, 800,000, but he's planted so many. He could have 1 million people if he wanted to. And the man has impacted a nation. Why? He recognizes and acknowledges the person of the Holy Spirit. When you do that, you're going to develop, you're going to develop a friendship with him. He's going to reveal to you. He reveals secrets to friends. So flowing in the supernatural is about developing a friendship with the Holy Spirit. How well do you know him? If you know him, you'll flow with him. And when you flow with him, your whole life becomes a miracle. You can't stop miracles from happening in your life because that's the fruit of what he does. He does that. You guys still with me, right? All right. I need to finish reading all this. All right. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves. Wrong answer. That's the way to not see the power of God. It says, notice, they took it upon themselves. Just key note right there. To call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Says, and there were seven sons of Sceva, Jewish priests, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? That's not good. If a demon-possessed dude, demon speak to a demon-possessed dude and ask who you are, just turn and start running right now. Because if they don't know now, you it's too late, right? They need to acknowledge Jesus in you. He's too clouded or obscured. Go pray and come back, right? Because you're about to get the beat down, right? That's the translation. That's if they don't. It says, so the man whom the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Beat them up, took their Michael Jordans, threw them out every available window, all their clothes torn off of them. It's terrible. But notice this. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and a fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord was magnified. Isn't that interesting? And many who had believed came confessing and telling the deeds. And many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of it. It was totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. And it goes on. And basically, that's 137 years of straight labor. You add up all the money of a person working 137 straight years. Nobody lives that long, right? Add it. So a lot of money. Millions of dollars, right? It says, so the word grew mightily and prevailed. I read you this passage because I really believe this is a prophetic. It's a prophetic passage that will happen again. Paul is flowing in the authentic. Some people try to do some identity theft, right? They're trying to act like they got right relationship with God. They're counterfeit power brokers, if you will. They try to flow. It backfires on them. People see the contrast between genuine folk walking in the power of God and someone that's playing games and don't know how to operate. They're exposed because the devil turns on his own all the time. And by seeing the contrast, the people go, I want to be with that group. I want to be with Solomon Porch people. I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to be in YWAM. I want to be a follower of Christ. And man, they turn in all the Ouija boards. Come on, they turn in all the Harry Potter Hogwarts hats or whatever they got. They burn in all this stuff in the middle of the city. Millions of dollars. Changes the economy, I'm sure, right? But it says after that, the word of the Lord grew mightily. Why did the word? Because there was a manifestation that attested to the reality of the word. Now, there's so many things we can concentrate in on this, but let me begin on this one. Hell and heaven alike both want to know who you think you are. The power of the supernatural begins with identity. You're going to walk in power. You need to have an identity firmly rooted as a sent one. Jesus knew he was sent. He knew he was on a mission. He would later say, I'll give you the passage a little bit later. He says, Jesus said, as I was sent, so do I send you. Your identity is that you're on a mission. You're an ambassador for a kingdom. You're a child of God. You're not just a person looking for a job or who's got a nice job or a person that's kind of looking for this situation or not or just kind of trying to make your way, trying to tread water in the business world. No. Or whatever business or whatever it is you're doing, you're a child of God. Identity is huge. Hell wants to know who you are. And if hell can talk you out of your kingdom identity, your heavenly authority, it will. You have to have this thing of who you are. And see, people don't usually talk about that when they talk about how to flow in miracles. It begins with your identity. One of the things that I think has been one of the greatest wars of my life is over this thing of identity. I struggled for the longest time. I'd get so insecure, man. I think I shared with some of you one of the past conferences that we had. I got a D plus in high school speech, and it wasn't, part of it was that I wasn't very articulate at the time, but you can grow in something. If you do it long enough, right, you know, you get better at it. But a lot of it had to do with I just didn't see anything of value coming out of my life. The enemy really is attacking a generation over their identity. And you got to understand, the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Your identity is you're housing a treasure to be released on a generation. You hold a hand on the steering wheel of the destiny of a nation. You're a revivalist. You are sent for such a time as this to bring about a moral revolution. You are an invasion of kingdom people in Hong Kong. God is, nothing happens by accident in the kingdom. It's not like, oops, I didn't mean to get that guy here. Ooh, I got to try to find out how to get him over someplace else. No, no, no. God is a God of purpose who has you here for a purpose. But you have to have your identity rooted and grounded. So here is this thing. Here, I love to say this phrase. Consciousness precedes being. You have to be conscious of who you are in God before you will be a supernaturalist. It's my way of saying God's kingdom dispenser, child of God. Consciousness precedes being. Some people try to be before they're conscious. In other words, some people will try to flow in miracles and it's spurious. They'll get a little, they won't get as much as they want. They get discouraged over the thing. They put the whole thing down and they go running in another direction. It's they never dealt with this thing of identity. Daniel 11:32, them that know their God shall be used mightily and do great exploits. Your identity comes from knowing God. The more you know God, the more you know your reflection of Him. I get up in the morning. One of the things I do every day, I say, Lord, I thank you for the affirmation, Father, that you have on my life today. And I choose to feed on that affirmation for the rest of the day. That way, if you don't like me, I want you to like me, don't get me wrong, but I'm going to be okay. I'm going to make it through today. If you don't like my Jesus, I'm not going to back off of that. If you think that I'm politically incorrect, you think that I'm committed intellectual suicide, whatever, you know, go down the list. It doesn't matter because the ultimate person is giving me the thumbs up because His Son lives inside of me. On that day, all the opinions of all mankind added up all together will equal absolutely zero goose eggs, nada, you know, how do you say zero in Cantonese? Leng, it's going to mean leng, that's it, zero. Don't matter. Only thing that matters is Christ. When it's all said and done, end of the day, the only thing that matters, period. This thing and our value system needs to match eternity now. We don't need to wait till we die to recognize we had this whole thing inverted. Let's live according to the kingdom now. We know this book tells us the value system of the kingdom. Let's adopt that now. The sooner we get on God's agenda and God's page, the more we can begin to see God's stuff. Let's be who the Bible says we are. Quit letting other folks define you. They don't have a right to define you. They didn't make you. They didn't create you. They don't even know you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they may know your name. They may know that you like, you know, I don't know, certain kind of food. They may think that you're gifted in a particular area of business, commerce, or whatever, teaching, whatever it is you do. But they don't know you. God knows the number of hairs. He says, Bible says, He has a number of hairs on your head. Count it. So not only like how many hair you got, but when a hair falls out, He could go, that's 1,700,623. You know, that he has each hair count. He knows you. And so He's the only one that has the right to define you. We can't let people, and so you got to do this. One of the tests of moving to supernatural is you will be misunderstood. So you try to move in this thing and your identity isn't right. You know, I've seen this because your tail goes between your legs, yellow streak up your back, and you're just wounded for a while. And then you come back, God loves you. He'll bring you back into everything. 1 John 4:17. Look at that. Go there. You got to see this, gang. Oh, my. You guys getting something out of this?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Biggest thing for me is that I want you to feel like you're getting something out of this, right? 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Boldness is not just in the day of judgment. Boldness is something that begins now, but John makes the connection. As he is, so are we in the world. Boldness comes from knowing who you are. Boldness comes from identity. And make no mistake about it. Some of us, we're not bold in our personality. That's not what we're talking about here. You may be more reticent, but in your spirit, you're bold when it comes to spiritual things, the things of God. So we're not trying to make everybody like, Smith Wigglesworth punched a lady that had cancer in her stomach. Boom, gruff, we're not trying to make everybody Smith Wigglesworth like that. But Catherine Coleman was very bold, and she had a different personality. So we're not trying to make you, but boldness is as he is. Now notice this. It didn't say as he is in the world, so are we in the world. I used to quote it like that. I was wrong. As he is, Jesus is now. As he is, not as he was. As he is seated above, reigning. We reign with him. We're right? We reign with God. We're seated in heavenly places. You got to understand, you're above the situation. Your attitude, your outlook, your identity is the building blocks of moving in miracles, seeing healings, and impacting the marketplace. It goes back to your identity. You just got to. I had a great friend today. I just found out today we're pretty similar, same age, both kind of starting to minister at the same time. Both knew each other before we were married, both evangelists that traveled and preached. He was at my wedding. I got married first. Then he got married. I got kids. Now he got kids. Just got an email from his wife. He died of cancer. And I just got that today. And I told my wife, I said, babe, I don't really even have the space to grieve over this thing right now. I'm sure it'll come. But the thing that, I thought about is that I hate cancer. I hate cancer. And it's not like some fleshly like response like, oh, I hate cancer. The Bible says in 1 John 3:8, it says the Son of God was manifested for this reason, he might destroy the works of the enemy. Love causes you to not only love something, but to detest something else, something that would destroy someone you love. Healing is about understanding how much God loves. And I pray today, this is the part I could, and different times of day, even now. And I mean, I'm staying in a mode here to like instruct and share with you. I said, Lord, don't let the devil have a final say in this thing. I know he's going to be with you. That's good. He graduated. He's where we're trying to go. But I said, God, whatever anointing was on his life, I know other people, probably in line, his kids. I said, God, put it on me, not so I can have some sort of like ministry name or whatever. I said, but I want to walk in a divine vengeance against darkness. You can't tell me Jesus didn't have that. Now, I know the primary motive is love, and that's what it is. But when you see something destroying God's creation, the Bible says, be ye angry that sin not. I feel like the church has lost the power of a divine outrage. Like that's not holy or something. I think the man, when you see sickness on someone, it ought to bother you enough out of your love for them, and you, in a sense, angry at the devil. It is righteousness to be angry at the right one to the right degree that releases the right thing. It really is. It says the Spirit of the Lord, King Saul, Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. He became angry and basically took out Nahash and the Ammonites. He became angry at the enemies of God. And I feel like some Christians are too passive. They're not passionate enough on either way. They don't have enough love for the Lord on one side, and they don't have enough hatred for what the devil does. And if you're going to make it long-term serving God, you have to have a love for what he does and a hatred for what the devil does. It works from both sides. That's part of your identity. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. I mean, that word there is like annihilate. It's like I will be Bach, Terminator talk. I mean, that's what this is. And so you have to have that. Okay. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. So you're a supernaturalist, you're a revivalist, you're a revolutionary, you're power gift practitioners, you're lovers of Jesus. Let me tell you what, if you have the right identity, here's a right identity test. Let me give it to you. Three things. You want more of God's presence. If you have the right identity, you're here tonight because you want more of God's presence. You can't get enough of God's presence. Eight, you ache sometimes. You want so much more of God's presence. Now, if you're new and you're a baby Christian, you're not at that point, or you wouldn't describe it like that, it's cool. Don't. I'm not trying to. But there'll come a point that you will ache because you want more of God. And it's not like God is like sitting back going, I'm going to give you a little of me, a little of me, a little. He goes, no. It's what we can handle, right? Jesus told the disciples, I have many more things to say to you, but you're not able to handle it. As if to imply revelation awaits capacity. When the capacity, you heard the old saying that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Revelation awaits capacity. When you have that hunger, that desire, that yearning, it's like it's excavating. It gets out all other desires. It roots out everything else to where you have this ravenous desire for more of God's presence. Look out. He's gonna give it. The one thing that we know in the kingdom, right? Every time I pay these taxi cabs, I got some Hong Kong dollars, right? And some of them, I offered them some other money. They weren't interested in that. They wanted Hong Kong money, right? So that's the currency here, right? In America, you know, it's pictures, green pieces of paper, dead men's pictures on it, dead president's picture on it, right? And that's the money. The currency of the kingdom of God is spiritual hunger. It's already paid for with Jesus, but what he requires in a transaction is put money on the counter, I get my little juice from 7-Eleven, right? He picks up the money. I walk away. Legal exchange. If I try to walk away with both, what's that called? Shoplifting, right? Yeah. The exchange in the kingdom. Isaiah, I think it's 55. Oh, come to me, those of you who are hungry or something like that, or thirsty, even without money, I counsel you, or come and buy. So it's saying that you don't have to have earthly currency, but what he's requiring is thirst. Thirst is the... That is the exchange. You lay down thirst, hunger, desire on the counter of heaven. You walk away with heaven's commodities. Jesus already paid for it. It's free, but it's costly. The divine paradox of the things of God. Everybody just nod your head right now. That's true. All right. Number two, how do I know if I really got the right identity? You want more of God's manifestation. You want, and we define what that is, right? The manifestation is the making visible or observable the reality of the Spirit. You have a hunger for more of God's manifestation in your life. Don't catch hold of any kind of teaching that tries to make you feel bad that you want to see the manifestation of God. All of creation groans in eager anticipation for the revealing of the sons of God. God, it's in his word, all the world wants you to manifest. It's built in that they hunger for your manifestation. In other words, God's manifestation through the born-again believers. So don't listen to any kind of teaching. There's terrible stuff out there that people talk like they're trying to make you feel bad that you want God to show up. Read the Bible. Hello. Third thing, not you guys. You don't have to worry about it. If you have the right identity, you want more intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And I actually should have started with that one, but I wanted to work up to that one. This, I say the best for last, so to speak. You want more intimacy with the Holy Spirit. The more you're intimate with the Holy Spirit, the more you think his thoughts, the more you feel what he feels, and the more you grieve over what he grieves over. What excites him excites you. And that's where I want to be found. When it's all said and done, I got hobbies and interests, and God gives us a lot of freedom. There are people in here that have done a lot of different things, man. I see some people on Fear Factor 2, if they made that. They're eating moving things on a plate. Won't mention any names. I saw a little video on Facebook. People that want to bungee jump, skydive. I actually want to skydive, for that matter. And I have bungee jumped. And people that want to, oh, that is cool. That's great, you know. But I'm telling you what, our greatest desire ought to be intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And if you have that, stuff flows out of you. Okay, so passionately pursuing more of the Holy Spirit is going to equate to passionately pursuing the gifts, the intimacy, the anointing, because with that, you can change culture around you. My motive and desire for wanting to see more miracles is that I want to see geography change around me. I want to see the power of God because I want to see literally the nations of the world, the kingdoms of the world become the kingdoms of our God. I want to see someone give their life to the Lord. I'm an evangelist. I'll be honest with you. The great, I feel spoiled before God. The greatest thing I get to do, I get to see people come to know Jesus. It never gets old. It never gets old. And part of the, I was a young believer. I might have shared this one of those years I was here. A guy that's mentored me, phenomenal evangelist. He's in a meeting. A woman's in a wheelchair. Make a long story short, he gets a word of knowledge that God wants to heal this woman. He says to her, get up out of the wheelchair. Some stalling. She doesn't get up because she initially, we'd find out later, she didn't understand him. She didn't speak English real well. An usher came behind her because he said, usher, would you help this lady? God's power's on her. She's supposed to get out of this wheelchair. He touched her. The woman jumps up on her feet. She's shocked. She takes a couple steps. She starts running around. People went crazy. It was at the, I'll tell you where it was at. Henry J. Kaiser Auditorium in Oakland, California. Everybody starts standing up applauding. They're going crazy. I mean, it was a spirit of revival in that place. Myself and one of my best friends at the time, we both hit the ground crying because I felt that holiness of God. It was thick in the room. Immediately, this evangelist gave an altar call. It seemed like everybody in the building got saved or got saved again, right? Because what do miracles do? They announce that God is near. That's what this thing is really about. It's not like Ringling Brothers, you want to see another, you know, trick in the three-ring circus. It's that the power of God demonstrated announces that the presence of God is near. And that is going to be the calling card for a generation. Three out of every four, George Barna did this study and statistic of American Mosaic, the generation of kids that are up to, I think, about 22, 21, something like that. He said three out of every four of them have perpetrated either a psychic and or witchcraft or occultic experience, not counting horoscope. So he's saying three out of every four. You count four American teenagers, right? Three out of them have gone through witchcraft or gone through the occult in some way to try to find a spiritual experience. If we don't walk in genuine power, we're going to lose that generation. And I submit to you that's not just United States. I think it's all over the nations of the world. It's going to require that. I don't need to convince you. You guys know that. Okay, now here's where it shifts. I'm going to give you a couple other things. We'll get in our Q&A session. You're going to love this. What is the secret of miracles, right? I'm going to give it to you right now. You ready? First thing, write it down. And this is what everybody wants. This is what I originally wanted, Belinda, but this is not how you get there. Let me tell you what it's not. You will not. This is not the secret to the miracle flow. Formulas and methods. And that's what I wanted. I would sit there with my pencil out, and I so wanted that vessel who was teaching to give me that hidden secret that I could take that hidden secret and implant it in my flow chart. You know, I was a computer major, right? And then I could, I'll have it now. I've discovered the secret of all miracles. Ooh. It is not a method. It's not. You know, some people think, I'm going to pray for the sick, and if I could pray like I heard this certain guy pray, and I pray exactly where he prays or she prays, then she'll get healed. It's not like that. I've heard everyone pray all kind of ways. I've heard people pray stuff that probably wasn't even right, but their heart was right, and the person got healed. This thing is not about a formula, not about why. Because once you get a formula, you don't need the Holy Spirit. They have this popular reality series over in the States right now, Dancing with the Stars. You guys, okay? Somebody clap. They like that, right? The secret to signs and wonders is dancing with the Holy Spirit, but he's the lead dancer, right? You know, Dancing on the Stars, they got the ringers. I don't know what else to call them. They're the dance specialists, right? And then they bring in other stars to dance. And some are male, some of them are female. You know who the lead dancer is. You could tell, right? The Holy Spirit, signs and wonders, is about allowing the dance with the Holy Spirit, but he is leading you. You've learned to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. You learn to turn when he turns. You learn to move when he moves. Dip. All right, here's the dip, Holy Ghost, right? You learn how to follow that. And as he's the lead dancer, you're the follow dancer. He leads you into things that may be different each time. Jesus prayed for the sick many different ways. Sometimes he spit in dirt, put it on their eyes, right? Sometimes he spoke to people. He walked up and touched the coffin of a dead girl. Another time he took a girl by the hand. He just called Lazarus, come forth, right? Jesus did all kind of stuff, told somebody else, some lepers, you just keep walking, go show yourself to priests. And as they went, the Bible says they were healed. You have all different types, as if the Holy Spirit wants to emphasize this thing is not about a formula or a method. If you want to see miracles in your life, be delivered from looking for the secret formula, the secret method. It is about learning, the best way I could say it is developing a father consciousness. Growing in a father consciousness. Jesus said, I do nothing of my own initiative. John 5, 19 and 20. Son could do nothing of himself, but only that which he sees the Father do. And that which the Father does, the Son does likewise, because the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, show you greater works than these that you may marvel. That the secret to miracles is being so conscious. A moment, the more you can get into a moment by moment in the middle of your day, consciousness of what God is doing, where he's moving, picking up on little things. So you have to be looking. You know, I love that term, treasure hunting. You're looking. And what I like to do, I'm like Holy Ghost CSI, man. I'm looking for the fingerprints of God. That's what I'm doing, man. My daughter loves that CSI stuff. That's what she wants to be. She's a senior now in high school. She wants to go to college writing, but it may shift. She also wants to be physical therapist. So maybe she'll be CSI physical therapist in her, in, you know, downtime. But in any case, you're looking for the fingerprints of God. And when you begin to sense the fingerprints of God on something, you begin to dialogue with God. You go, what's going on? Didn't Jesus say, if you ask for bread, I will not give you a stone? What is bread? Jesus said, I'm the bread of life come down from heaven. But he also said, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Bread in the Bible is a type of revelation. If you ask for bread, I will not give you a stone. What does a stone do? A stone blocks you up, right? It blocks something. God's saying, if you ask, so what is he saying? It was like a duh, aha, discovery one day. The Holy Spirit wants us to ask him for revelation. So I do. I say, Holy Spirit, in this service right now, who you touching, who you freeing, who you blessing, who you healing? And I'm looking. If you ask for fish, he will not give you a snake. If you're asking fish, you know, obviously I think fish is something spiritual. Snake is something demonic. If you're asking for true spiritual stuff from God, he's not going to let you get a counterfeit. So he's telling us, if you ask, you're not going to get the wrong thing. He's going to give you the right thing. So ask. Why? So I'm looking around, right? All of a sudden, I see someone jump out at me in a crowd while I'm walking past Starbucks. And I begin to dialogue. Holy Spirit, why did she just jump out at me? Right? My heart is pure, right? I mean, we're grown people. My heart is pure. It's not because I want her to be my girlfriend, right? My heart is pure, right? Isn't that right? I'm saying like I'm a single guy. I'm saying I'm married. You have to get over that because sometimes, you know, this is very true. Sometimes you're drawn to people. It's a spiritual attraction, but people who are carnal don't pick up on it. That it's not like in the world, it's like, ooh, she's cute. Ooh, he's fine. Ooh, a hottie, whatever. No, no, no. This is not what we're talking about right now. We're talking that the Holy Spirit is drawing them to him. He's drawing you to them so you can help seal the deal, so to speak. So watch when you're attracted to someone. And that's why purity is so important on the front end. Everybody nod your head like you kind of understood that. People jump out at you, lock eyes. You ever locked eyes and something just seemed different? Begin to dialogue. Say, Holy Spirit, why did that person just... And wait, just get still. Biggest secret to hearing the voice of God is two things, right? One is what you do before you needed to hear God. You got to spend time in his presence. You got to know his word. You don't know his written word. You've declared in a value system, you don't value his word. So people that have no word life, they don't hear consistently or any depth from the Spirit of God. Because if you're really serious that you value God's word and revelation, you're going to know the word. So you want to be prophetic, but you don't have word in you. You're not prophetic. You're pathetic. That's what it is. All right. Not you, but you know, people in general, right? You got to be a word person. Make the word of God your hobby. I got hobbies, Brandon and Brittany, my two kids. Those are my hobbies, right? But I love to read the word of God, man. I used to have a goal, but then I kind of got convicted of it. That I would wear out Bibles every year. I mean, wear, and I'd get durable ones, not little cheap ones. This would be tore up, just bent. Not like I was doing it on purpose, but I had gotten in it so much because I'd heard Charles Spurgeon, a great theologian, says people with worn out Bibles rarely have worn out lives. Ooh. Ooh, man. So I heard that as a baby Christian. I'm like, I'm wearing through my Bible every year. I don't want to be worn out. I'm wearing out all them Bibles, man. So I do. So now, you know, I just kind of realize, hey, just I don't have to try to show you my Bible's worn out or anything. This is a newer Bible, by the way. Just want you to hey, I say that very humbly and trying to keep my blessing secrets. You know what I'm saying? Healings and miracles don't happen because we do one, two, three.
They don't happen because we do one, two, and three. It's because of the gracious presence and mysterious power of God. Acts 10:38. I'll prove it to you. And we're about 5 minutes from our first Q&A. Acts 10:38. Just go there and see. You got to see this, you guys. You've got to see this. Acts 10:38. I love this verse. Man, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, went about doing good, healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for he knew the methodology of God and implemented 1, 2, 3. Is that what it says? No, what does it say? For God was with him. Ta-da! That's the secret of miracles. It's not a formula. It's relational. It's relational. The secret of Jesus' miracle, it says right there, it's because of the gracious presence and mysterious power of God. It's not 1, 2, 3. Learning to heal the sick and minister in the kingdom is not about how-tos. Let me tell you what it's about. It's about walking on water. What kind of formula do you have to walk on water? This is the formula. When God says come, you step out. That's how Peter walked on water, right? He said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. Which is another way to say, if that's really you, just give me like a word or something. Jesus said one word, come. Come, C-O-M-E, was enough for Peter to walk out on water until he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at winds and waves, which have nothing to do with you defying water solubility and walking on top of it, right? But the moment he took his eyes off Jesus, when he sunk. Miracles are about getting the word of the Lord and getting focus on what God spoke to you and not letting anything around you distract you. Because symptoms and sickness, you're praying for people. People around you, what they're saying. People, somebody else saying, well, my Aunt Mary had that and she died of that. You know, you got to get out there and hear the word of the Lord and walk on water and do not be distracted. What happened there and what happened there has nothing to do with what God wants to do here unless you let it. Miracles are about walking on water. Every time I do it, I just feel like, okay, God, we're about to walk on water again, man. This is so great. This is fun. You go, Rashawn, what if you fall, right? See, this is the other thing. I just have a different value system. I think Peter was a hero, right? He walked on water, took his eyes off Jesus. He sunk. Jesus grabbed him. He said, help. That's a good thing. You fail, you go help. Help. Jesus grabbed him. He got back up on water. The Bible did not say that Jesus gave him a piggyback ride. He probably held Peter's hand. They walked back, got in the boat. Other disciples, they might have been teasing Peter a little bit, but I would rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat Christian any day. 11 other dudes in a boat, they never got out. I want to at least say I walked on water. I bet when nobody was around, after they kind of like frown on him, oh, Peter, how could you take your eyes off Jesus? I bet they say, hey, Pete, what was that like, dude? Was that cool or what? And I think there's no coincidence that Peter would be the guy on the church's birthday that would deliver the church's first message. 3,000 people get saved. He is the initial until Paul, Apostle Paul, kind of little torch is handed to him. And Peter kept doing stuff. It's just that the book of Acts, Luke followed Paul around. So we got from Paul's perspective. But it's because he could get out the boat. Just get out the boat. Just have a value system that if you step out and you sunk, at least you can learn a lesson that can improve. Because moving in the miraculous, it's really a spiritual progression. You can't wait till you're perfect to flow because you can't get perfect until you begin to flow. And after you begin to flow, Hebrews 5:14, but solid food belongs to the mature, those who by reason of use have their senses trained to discern good and evil. We don't yell at a little baby, right? Little baby, you can't walk. Stop right now. You fell down. Stay down right now. Now, we don't do that to kids, right? We're like, oh, she took a step. Oh, he took two steps. Oh, you know, you're all excited. We don't care if they fall. We know they're trying and they will walk before this thing's over. That's how God feels about you. He sees your heart. One time, I was kicking myself so bad because I blew it in a way that, you know, I stepped out believing something was God. And I felt like the Spirit of God said, you don't know. This didn't surprise me. You know, kind of like, I knew how this was going to turn out. I'm just glad you stepped out. We're going to pick up this lesson again tomorrow. And I got another chance to step out another way. And over a period of time, but there's certain people that they're so afraid of making a mistake that they don't make anything. They miss opportunities. We talked about that the other day, so I want to go into that. So relational oneness with the Father is the secret to signs and wonders. It's a Father consciousness. It's about developing. John 5:17.
And I'll share these two scriptures and we'll stop for Q&A. John 5:17. That's right. John 5:17 says, but Jesus answered him and said, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. That's a father consciousness. Now stop. Time out. Hold the phone. Commercial break. Everybody look this way. Do not miss this. This is huge. If you would really get this, this will revolutionize your walk. Jesus said, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. He knew when God was doing something, he would step in. If you can pick up on what God is pointing out, the thing perceived becomes the thing received. If you can pick up on what God is pointing out, like God is pointing out, let's just say God's pointing out. Great example, Acts 14. It says, Apostle Paul speaking, perceiving that a man had faith to be made whole, he said the guy likes to rise up and walk. The dude got healed. We're not told Paul went and laid hands on him. He recognized God doing something. Catherine Coleman's ministry, she would just be speaking. She would stop right up there in the platform right there. Somebody's ear is popping open right now, and somebody would scream up in that area. She recognized what the Father was doing, and everybody was like, oh, man. She would tell people all the time, I'm not doing this. The Holy Spirit is doing this. I'm simply pointing out what he's doing. This is what she's talking about. The Father's working. That's my work. My work, your work, is to recognize what the Father's doing and step in it. And when you step in it, miracles happen. It's really, that's the way it happens. It's not hard. Every day, see, this is my contention. Every day, there are miracles waiting to be unwrapped in our lives, but are we recognizing them? How many moments do we walk away with miracles that remain wrapped that could have been unwrapped had we recognized it was an invitation from God? When you recognize something's God, it is an invitation of God for you to step in and receive a miracle. It really is. A look is how many miracles begin. Keep your eyes open if you know what I'm saying. Watch. Don't get so caught up in your day and what you got to do that you're so rushing from this to this to this. You're missing life. You're missing miracles. You're missing the movement of God. You're missing the kingdom because we're so, and I'm guilty as anyone, right? So I'm smiling at you. But we can get so tunnel vision that we're missing, man. Someone could have got out of a wheelchair. That person could have got saved. This person would have, you know, quit doing drugs. That person would have come to Solomon Port with you, man, and gave your life to the Lord. But we're so in this that it's almost like we're not father aware, we're self-aware. To the extent that you're father aware, you're not self-aware. And to the extent that you're self-aware or obsessed with being self-aware, there's a big fashion thing here, man. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I think if given a choice, most people would like to dress nice or look good in their clothes as opposed to look bad, most people. But you can get so caught up in almost anything like that that I think the challenge of it is it's interrupting your prophetic flow. You know what I'm saying? Because you're so conscious. I wonder how I look. I wonder if this is right. I wonder if that's right. And you know what? I'm serious, man. That robbed me too long, man. I don't want to be robbed like that anymore. I don't even want to. A mirror to me now is functional. Now, again, I'm not trying to put anyone else under a dealing, right? I figure at this stage in the game, I am not going to change this. It's going to look the way it's going to look. I am not too worried about that. I'm not trying to get on People Magazine, most whatever people this year. But I do want to pick up on miracles and whatever I have to do to become more father conscious. But it's so freeing to become more God conscious and self-conscious. Self-consciousness is like this abyss. Isn't that the word? It's like a downward cycle abyss. And it's just like, okay, I don't need to talk to you guys about it. You guys understand that. John, and then look at 19 to 20. Says, then Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. And whatever he does, the Father also does in like manner. So the Father loves the Son and shows him. Say, shows him. Say, sees. Say, shows him. If I can see what the Father's showing me, miracles happen. That's what this verse is saying. If I could see, the Father's doing his part. He's showing. Okay? Because you're not seeing doesn't mean God's not showing. He's showing, but are you seeing? This is what the Lord's dealing was with me. Because I started thinking that miracles were rare and you had to have like everything just right, room temperature, you had to have the right speaker, you had to have the right crowd, everything. And man, by the time I finished this gymnastics in my head, it was like I wasn't seeing any miracles. And I started to begin to realize I need to renew my mind, man. God is his nature. He's always flowing like that. Okay? So
We're going to do a Q&A. I don't know if you want to do something on the tape like that or whatever, but right now we're just going to do a Q&A. If you want to get a drink or you want to use the bathroom or anything, we'll take about 10 minutes to do Q&A, and I just want to come back and do a small, after this 10 minutes, like a small, give me 15 minutes, and then we're going to minister over people. Is that okay? All right, so we're going to do 10. So you got to use the bathroom, whatever. If you want to stay, ask a question. You want to get something to drink. You want to whatever. If you're just going to chat or something, just step out in the hallway. Q&A. Got any kind of questions? I'm going to give it my best. I'm not telling you I got the answer. I know who does have the answer, so we may have to just stop and ask the Holy Spirit. Any questions? I would have 20 questions right now. I would. I would have. I always keep 20 questions. That was like my thing growing up when I gave my life to the Lord. Always had 20 questions I would ask any man or woman of God if I ever sat with them. Questions are shovels. Treasure is hidden many times in different vessels. If you ask the right question, your shovel is able to mine the gold. Have a question. Always. Always. Right here.
So, understand that these things take time to develop. But, mm-hmm. And Paul noticed that man had faith. And before you started, you put your whole verse in your long practice now. So you're able to pick up on certain something on someone's faith or faith. So you're able.
Good question. She's saying, okay, you're talking, Sean, about picking up on what the Father's pointing out, but when you first get started, you know, it's kind of hard to see it. I think it has to be about the Father showing, so it begins with you just looking and asking God to give you eyes. Spend some time in prayer. Say, God, I say this, Lord, I present you the eyes of my heart. Fill it with your vision today. Give me eyes to see. Remember how Elisha? Prayed for his servant, and that there was like surrounding with the Aram, and I think it was the Aramaean army, but it was angels, more angels. So he prayed from the Lord, and the dude opened his eyes, and that dude was in major fear. So that was like a powerful like revelation. He said, there's more for us than those who are against us. He said, I see that. So just begin simple, because sometimes we can make it, we make it too complicated. Let's just simplify it. Let's just say we're going to begin by asking God to show us stuff. Lord, I present you the eyes of my heart today. Show me your movement and begin to look for God. The other thing is, when God does move in a church service, take mental note. Catalog, like, here's what happens. If I were to take Pastor Sam Kim right here, he's handled stuff. If I were to put like a bottle in his hands and have him close his eyes, he'd hold a bottle, he'd tell me it's a bottle. I put a comb in his hand. It's a comb. Bible, he'd at least know it's a book. Why? He's handled it enough. Even when his eyes closed, he could tell you what it is. What I started doing is when God would come in a meeting and heal, I'd stop and say, how does that register? I'm trying to avoid what does that feel like? Because I don't want you to get confused with earthly or fleshly feelings. What I sense there? Because the Bible says at one point in time, the presence of the Lord was there to heal. But nobody had gotten healed when the writer said that. So I believe that a healing anointing has a feel. Sometimes all of a sudden I'll feel the healing anointing and I know somebody's going to get healed. So I'm not even recognizing anything on anyone's face. I'm knowing someone's going to get healed. So I'm like, God, okay, show me who's the one that's going to get healed because I recognize the anointing. Sometimes I'll get an excitement that I've registered when people get saved. And I have that feeling and all of a sudden I know. And I've had that so many times while walking to people and they're like blowing me off and I go, oh, you are so about to get saved right now. I end up leading them. And I'm serious. I led people to the Lord that was blowing me off like that because I could sense that anointing. So sometimes it really begins with wherever you're at, do not be distracted when God is moving. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Read the red, pray for the power. Red is, quote, Jesus. Read the book of Acts and visualize. Well, why is the word so descriptive? We're afraid to visualize like, ooh, that's New Age. No, it's not. They stole it from us. Right? See Jesus' movement in Scripture. It helps you will see in the Spirit out in the marketplace. I'm very visual. I've always been that. I think, you know, when you're young, you develop things.
And so I just love it. I could just picture Jesus. I have my own movie going of the Gospels. I've read it enough times. There's a two-chapter segue that I love. It's Matthew 8 and 9, where there's 12 miracles. He's on a roll, folks. You know, that old term in basketball, put some butter on him because he is on a roll, man. And Jesus is in Matthew 8, 9. So read Matthew 8, 9, read that. But I say that just look for, would the term be anomalies? When you're looking, look for something, just like a Sherlock Holmes, he's trying to crack a case. He's looking for something that doesn't fit, or he's looking for something that stands out. I pray that my eyes will be open, and then I just look for something that stands out. Sometimes you don't get anything, but you've still practiced being aware of the Father, and so you get an A grade that day. The A grade is not that you got something. The A grade is that you were attentive, because you will get something if you stay attentive. Some people go, I didn't get anything, and they start kicking themselves. Well, no, don't kick yourself. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. You get the A grade. You put yourself in position that had God wanted to show you something, you'd have got it. So that might be overkill, but that was the answer. Anybody coming late, that was the answer. How do you begin to see and pick up on what God is doing out there? And again, I'm not trying to just sell a product, okay? I hope you understand that. I do have a 3-CD series back there called Sharpening Your Spiritual Senses, and I do a whole teaching on this very question. So just for the record there. And any other questions? Right back there. Yes. Jesus said to the disciples, it's good for you that I go away. If I'm one of the disciples, I'm with tears in my eyes thinking, you cannot be serious. I drop everything to follow you. These past 3.5 years of my life have been a blast. This is a whirlwind. But this is what he said. I send to you another counselor, another teacher, or another. The word there, another, there's two Greek words for another. One is alios, another is heteros. Heterosexual is a person that likes a person of the opposite sex. The Greek word heteros is another of a different kind. That's not the word used. Jesus used another alias, another same kind. So here's what he's saying. He said all that to say this. Don't want to confuse anyone. Jesus is saying, as real as I am to you guys, that's how real the Holy Spirit is going to be to you. Jesus was very real to them. Right now, some people trip off the theology of it. If you want to be theology, not theology, but if you want to be biblically accurate in your picture, Father's on a throne. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. Holy Spirit is the one down here. So when people say, Jesus came to me last night, technically the Holy Spirit manifested Jesus. He's here. Jesus is there. Jesus is ever living. He doesn't leave that right hand of the Father. That's where he's at. His earthly time was those 33.5 years, right? But 3.5. So the Holy Spirit is the one to manifest Jesus. We don't pray to the Holy Spirit. He's the helper. He's going to point to Jesus. So some people will say, well, I just think that's too much Holy Spirit focus. Dumb. It's the Trinity. It's all God. God's not offended. He's not insecure about himself. Like, oh, you like the Holy Spirit more. So we pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and the Holy Spirit assists us in doing what it is that we prayed about on planet Earth. He's the one, paraclete, literally the word, one called alongside, hold your hand to help you. So we should talk to the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing wrong with talking to the Father. And there's nothing wrong with talking to Jesus. But I have found that when you recognize the functions of the Godhead, you're able to cooperate with the will of God more readily. So I recognize the Father's on the throne, Jesus at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. And there are times, man, that the only way I've made it is the Lord gave me a revelation. Jesus prayed for me. I know others pray for me, but there are times that I have the revelation that Jesus himself prayed for me. The only reason why I know he made it. So that's why his role right now is so important. He's praying for the body of Christ. That's why we're going to make it. We are going to make it, man. We're not going to be going out of this thing limping and looking all like haggard and beat down and everything. God is not going to beat up his bride before the wedding, right? There's a Muhammad Ali's daughter is a good boxer, Laila Ali. Whole year before she got married to a football player, Curtis, I forget his name. I don't know if it's Conway or something like that. She did not fight. Why? She don't want black eyes and looking all busted lip before her wedding. The girl got beautified the last. God is not going to let his bride get beat up before the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's bad theology to think that the church is going to get beat down. He's coming back for a church without spot and wrinkle. There's going to be a victorious bride. And that other stuff, man, that goes around, that's just not consistent with Scripture. Now, Sean, are you saying we're not going to go through some challenges, some tribulations, some other? No, no, no. I'm not saying that. But some people make it seem like the church is just going to get beat down, stamped in the, oh, brother, just try to hold out till Jesus. No, 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 no. And the only reason, see, this is the only reason why people were done. They don't know the role of the Holy Spirit, man. Holy Spirit is not going to let. It's on him. His reputation is on the line, right? He's the one. He's our seal. He seals us that we're going to make it in the way that God intends that we're going to make it, right? So he's going to come back for a strong church. Y'all get ready, man. God's going to shake stuff up in a great way. These are exciting times to live. Don't nobody tell you any differently. We're going to see signs and wonders, the power of God, healing, manifestations. We are going to see persecutions. We're going to see tribulations. We're going to see challenges. But there's always been that. It's just escalating on both sides. It's going to be more grace and more resistance and challenges. But, bro, we're just on an end time stage of some phenomenal, unfolding of God's end time purposes and plans. So this is great, man. I think Apostle Paul and them guys, they would give their right arm to be alive right now in the day that you and I are in. I believe it. And if we've been in end times, but let me tell you what, the countdown is on. I know that wasn't your question, man. The countdown is on, you guys. Any other questions? Right over here and then right here. Okay, you want to go with the mic? I'm sorry. Go with the mic. Yeah. Do I have water up here?
You said that it's been about 23 years that you've been...
24.
24, okay. Yeah. Like, what are some practical things you've done just to kind of guard your passion and your seeking after it? Because I know myself, like, I get spurts of it, and then it dies. And then I get spurts, and then it dies. Like, what are some things you can do to guard that?
I tell you one thing right off the bat, and this is huge. Great question. Know your trip wires, know your trigger points. Trip wires. Like in guerrilla warfare, that they would do unseen little wires on the ground, and if an enemy soldier would trip on it, it could cause a landmine to blow up. Or you've seen their movies where all of a sudden a trap comes, grabs them by the ankle, and they go flying up in the air. If you're going to make it, you got to know your trip wires. What are the things that get you weak, leaves you vulnerable, how the enemy takes advantage of you? You know, the enemy may cause you to trip, but if he's getting you to trip 20 times in the same way, you're not learning your lesson. The Bible says we're not to be unaware of the devil's schemes. That's not your question, but this next part is. You got to know your trigger points. What gets you inspired? What gets you fired up? What gets you going? What gets you obsessed with the things of God? What gets your focus on? You got to know these things. You have to know what takes you out. You got to know what takes you up. So sometimes, you know, it's different things in different seasons. Sometimes I feel like a real grace on reading the Word of God. And so in that season, maybe my prayer life is not where I would want it to be. I'm not saying I'm not praying. I'm not saying I'm not getting for the Lord, but maybe I'm not feeling the connection, but he's on my word time. So let's go with that. Sometimes it's worship and just playing some worship music and just meditating and just sensing God's presence and ruminating, saturation. Some call it soaking. And so I'll do that. I just sense that in every season, frustration comes with being uncoordinate with the season God has you in. So sometimes I kind of had some hit and misses and I'd have spurts because God's grace was on a different thing to connect with him than what I was trying to do. I just wanted to keep doing my routine, but God loves us too much to allow this to be a routine. So he switches up on you. So sometimes it's the word. Sometimes it's worship. Sometimes it's prayer. Sometimes I get fired up by certain people. I just need to call, get on the phone, hear their voice. They fire me up. They make me want to live for God. They make me want to do great things for God. Make me want to win people to the Lord. I'll call them up. Certain books, obviously the Bible, but there's even other books that are like, it's time for me to pull this thing back out, man. I keep a journal. I write down different things that God has shown me. I encourage myself through that. When I get all kind of emails,
praise God, majority of it positive, but hey, you get the other stuff. I keep some of the stuff where there are miracles or people were really impacted or testimonies. Pull that thing out. Remind yourself of the different times that God met you. That's what David did to encourage himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself, chazak, in the Lord. And he did it by, you know, he would remember the times that God met him. Certain times, certain gatherings, there's certain worship songs that, man, all of a sudden, you know, and sometimes it's just a matter of unplugging everything around you and just getting still before the Lord. But the biggest thing of all, I think, is just being honest. Sometimes you just come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'll just be honest. I'm cold, God. I'm not where I need to be today, Lord. Help me, God. And set your heart before the furnace of God's presence. And man, all of a sudden, you start getting boom, 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 boom. And you just get stirred. The key is this. Some seasons you're in a warfare where you're not going to have everything. This is not your question, but some it may be. You're not going to have the feeling that you want to have. But some days you get the A grade simply because you didn't stumble. You didn't give into a sin. You didn't go with the devil. God looks down and says, you get the A grade. We feel like, man, I didn't feel like I really connected. I felt kind of dull today. And because I felt like I didn't connect, and I felt dull, I must have been bad today, or I let you down. And God is saying, no, you're in a warfare season. You didn't sin. You didn't go back to the old thing you used to do back in the day. You get the A grade. This is good today. It'll be different next week, but you did good today. And so I think, again, frustration comes from being uncoordinated with the season God intended. We're trying to get into a season we're not in, or we're still stuck in a season in the past. The other thing is big picture Christianity. What is the purpose? What is the thing that if you could put in a sentence, and I challenge you to, or a couple, or a paragraph, write it down. I got a, you know how businesses have a mission statement? I have a mission statement for my life, and I got it written on my desk. And I look at that thing, man, and, you know, there are days, man, where I think maybe I'm because my friend passed away, so I might be a little bit more emotional right now. Well, I'm a little discouraged maybe. I don't really feel like, you know, going out and trying to win someone to the Lord or inspiring people or doing. And I look at that statement and I go, okay, God, that's what you want me to do. I'm yours again today. How do we do this thing? And then before you know it, feelings always follow decision, right? You choose, you set your will in a direction, your feelings catch up. Your will starts on the journey and your feelings are going, wait up, wait up, wait up. But what we want to do is we want our feelings to lead us. No. You know. There's a difference between your emotional man, your spiritual man. Your spiritual man is a different. That's not your question. But for some people, that may be their question, is that you got to make a distinction. You're not an emotional being that has a spirit. You're a spiritual being that has emotions. Deepest part of you is your spirit. You got a yes in your heart today to God. God's pleased with you. And you just roll with that. Everybody is going to have days where they feel less connected, less fiery. And that's why we're always, truth be told, we're always desperate for God's spirit. We need him to be our inspiration every day. And something about when the presence of God comes, you get inspired quick. So you just keep doing what it takes. That is a great question. And I don't know that I gave a great answer, but I gave it a shot. I gave it a shot. We'll take your question and one more, and we'll start in the last 15-minute segment, and we're going to pray over folks. We want to pray over everybody, spiritually, but I want to give you some stuff on how to pray for the sick. That's what our last 15 minutes, specific, how to pray for the sick.
I have two questions. First of all, I just want to thank you for sharing everything today, kind of explain what I've been experiencing, and I've, in the last few months, just see God just showed me who's going to get saved. Ooh. And I'm just so excited every time. The first time when I experienced it, it was like, you're going to get saved within 6 before your daughter is born. And I remember looking at him and I want to tell you. And then I stopped and I said, let me pray for you. And that night he got saved. Now, wow. I was like, and I pinched myself after that because I didn't know if I should tell him or not. Because if I had said to him at that point, it's like showing him the power of God that God said, you're going to be saved. It's like you stood there and said, you're going to be saved. I didn't have the confidence. So I didn't say to him, you're going to be saved before your daughter is born, because he said, I'm not going to be a Christian. My daughter is going to be a Christian, and she'll be born in 6 weeks. So you know, and then the second time was someone said she's going to a home group tonight, and I felt God says you're going to be saved. I prayed this for somebody and said to the person, she's going to be saved, so please pray for her tonight. Well, I don't know what I did, but and then the last one was my intern whom I brought here on Sunday.
Rainbow.
Another one, actually. Another one. So this time I took the courage and I said, you will receive Jesus very soon. I didn't dare to tell her, definitely. And then she got saved in 3 weeks.
Sweet.
So what? How do we know what to say when God show us?
How do you know what to say?
To say or not to say? And the second question, I'm seeking a breakthrough. Seeing so many people's lives coming, you know, I wish I have more time. I feel that time is not enough. I wish I could see 10, 100 people get saved within a week where I go, where I walk. So
what can I
do to get there? Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let me take the latter question first, and you may have to repeat the other one. I feel like there's not enough time. I want to see 10,000 people saved. The Bible talks about every body part, every person doing their part. And in that process of every person doing their part, that's how this mechanism of God's body accomplishes the purpose of God on earth. God's yoke is easy, his burden is light. God never puts anything on us that's greater than what we can handle. But there are times that we receive his heart that seems like the burden is overwhelming. You know, burden is kind of like God's sharing God's emotion. Kind of burden is like almost like an old Christianese term, but I love that term, a burden of the Lord. I got the burden of the Lord. But it's sharing God's emotion over. So here's the deal. The first thing when God begins to give you his heart is you're called to pray, because it has to be God doing it. You and I can't do it, right? We can't do it. The assignment of the Lord is to say yes to God, loving Jesus and letting his presence manifest before a lost world is really what we're called to do. So sometimes you feel overwhelmed. It's about just going to prayer and praying. But God is not like some of you. You are putting in so many hours at work, your spare hours. You're trying to sleep. You're trying to just like God is probably not going to put on you in that season like this big old massive thing that you could not do. It's like there used to be an old, I don't know if you guys, used to be an old I Love Lucy series, right? I'm a middle-aged guy, right? Lucy and Ethel are like, take a part-time job at a candy factory and they're supposed to put these chocolates in a box, but somehow the thing starts going too quick, so they're torquing chocolates, they're putting it in their blouse, and it's just all going crazy. They want someone to cut off the machine. Sometimes I think we think our Christian walk is like that, like God is sending out too many chocolates, we can't. No. It's not like that. God knows that we're mere flesh. He's not going to give you more than what you can handle. The key is just doing what God wants you to do. That's why I think the prophetic is so important. Because if you're not prophetic, if you're not following the finger of God, you feel like you got to punch this time clock and do all these things because you're performance and task oriented. But man, being prophetic is deliverance from task orientation. You're not task oriented. You're very prophetic. Pray, because it's about God and you in your heart. And in that process of prayer, he'll tune you to the part you're supposed to play in that. Right before that, you had a question, and that question so hit me.
I didn't. To say, not to say,
what to say. I honestly think that comes a couple different ways. Some of it comes from experience. You'll step out and you'll say the absolute wrong thing, get the wrong response. Note to self, I will not say that one again. You know, that's how that's like. Other times, you'll be given what to say. And the Bible says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. It goes on later on in that chapter, Matthew. It says, do not worry beforehand what you will say, but your Father will give you in that moment what you need to say.
So if he gives you knowledge,
you share that. But you got to understand this. You're like really deep in this. Not everything God shows you do you always say. Because God is going to sometimes give you more than what people are ready. Even Jesus said, I have much more to share with you, but you're not ready for this now. So he's got more that he would give to the disciples. They're not ready for it. You sense where people are at. Being a bridge, right? We're to be a bridge. There's a Bay Bridge. One of the most beautiful bridges is San Francisco Bridge, right? You know, I think I talked about this. You got a bridge on this side. It's not a bridge if it started on this side and stopped halfway across the water. You don't call that a bridge. You call it something else, like a project, you know, something. Can't be called a bridge, right, until it connects. We need to connect to the heart of the Father, but we got to connect with people. And that's why people skills and being able to observe people and love folks. You know, I think you begin to get a heart for people. You begin to sense. And when all those fail, sometimes I find out it's not the perfect words. It's just an expression of love. Like there are times when I just didn't know what to say. And I just say, hey, man, you know, I'm really at a loss of words. I just know this, man. I believe Jesus can help you. And, man, I just feel like God's got something for you. I've seen people that I would not use this term, but others would look at them and say they're kind of socially retarded. In other words, they're not very good at social skills. I've seen them kind of people lead people to the Lord left and right. We had a dude in our group like that, Curtis. I'll never forget this guy. But he loved people. And so even though he didn't say the right thing, he still got the right fruit. It's really about your heart, and then things will flow. But you'll learn. You'll learn. God will keep. And you'll find yourself saying stuff like, ooh, I got to go home and write that down. That was good. You know, take out your little mobile and record it yourself. Awesome. Was there one other question, or am I just thinking that? No. All right, let's go to this thing on healing, because I don't want to keep you guys too late, because you guys, some of you got to go to work tomorrow. Good question. Okay. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to give you this, and then we're going to talk about healing. Flowing in the Spirit is simply this, because I want to talk to you how kind of words of knowledge, kind of healing, kind of the miraculous. It's following the Spirit's promptings. The Holy Spirit will prompt you, and you'll feel that. You'll feel movement towards someone or movement towards something, you know? I don't want to put Belinda on the spot, but she was just sharing with us, as Kurt and I, some of the people were over her in her husband's house for a beautiful dinner last night, and she just shared a need. When she shared a need, I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me. So I mentioned to Kurt, I said, hey, man, before we leave, we're gonna pray for Belinda. I just feel like God's in this thing. So just obey those promptings. It's that simple. Sometimes we don't do it because once God gives the prompting, we're trying to consider the feasibility of the thing. Remember, the nation of Israel did not occupy the promised land because they did a feasibility study. Oh, the giants is big. Oh, yeah, the fruit's nice, but, man, the land will eat you up. We ain't doing it. No, God never called them to do a feasibility study. He called them to have hors d'oeuvres. That's what he called them to have. Go eat of the land and just talk about how great it's going to be, and then go take it. I'm going to go before you. Don't do feasibility studies. Follow the Spirit's prompting. More miracles are made or missed on that whole thing of right there. And so we hear the Spirit primarily from within, not from without. I just say that because as it relates to healing, I used to want to hear the audible voice of God out loud. Like, you know, I saw the Ten Commandments and that messed me up because he went, Moses, Moses, this is God. Take off thy sandals for the place you stand is holy ground. So I kept thinking I was going to get that, Sean, Sean, this is God. Step away from your car. Take off your, you know, Nikes, you know. And that's not. He lives within me now. You know, he had to do that. The Holy Spirit, according to accurate, you know, dispensation and pneumatology and all that stuff, is just a way of saying Holy Spirit wasn't in Moses. It was upon Moses. It was after Pentecost that he came to indwell within, right? So now he speaks from the inside out rather than the outside in. There are some people that have heard the audible voice of God. I think probably on three occasions in my life. I'm not exaggerating. Maybe more, but I think on three occasions I heard the audible voice of God. But tens of thousands of time, or at least I'd like to think that, internal. So you look in here. In ministry, we operate from revelation. Holy Spirit's promptings, thoughts, pictures, impressions. I had a guy that I saw would get people's names, addresses, social security number. And I just thought for sure an angel dropped out of heaven and spoke in his ear. And he just would hear in his ear like a person had an earpiece, and he would call this out. He says, no, Sean, 90% of what I operate on is impression level. What someone else would dismiss, I sense the hand of God on it. I'll speak it out, and it's right on. So all I want to say is impressions are so important in flowing in gifts. Just sense the impressions of God. Sense the impressions. All right, healing. So many ways we can do this thing. But here's what I like to do. God must be serious on healing because, number one, he put healing right there in the first book of the Bible, Genesis. Abraham had a cousin or something like that, and man, he needed healing, and the dude got healing, right? He launched his nation of people. Israelites came out, two million people. Not one of them were feeble, right? Can you imagine 2,000 people in 400 years of slavery? Now, they weren't living 400 years, but they were living a long time, right? 400 people coming out, no sickness, no mask around their face, right?
Nobody coughing. Nobody seeing. Our taxi cab driver, man, that poor dude. I was praying for him, man. He was hacking, man, bad. No runny noses. No nothing. Right? Is God not serious about healing that 2 million people would come out and not one of them were feeble? He said, if you obey me, I'll bless your bread, bless your water, take sickness out of your midst. I'll put none of the diseases that I put upon the Egyptians will I put upon you. They had an inferior covenant sealed by the blood of bulls and goats. We're in the New Testament sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ, precious Lamb of God. The curse of Abraham was lifted off of us because Christ became a curse for us upon the tree. The Psalms talk about it. It's in the prophets. Jeremiah 30:17. I'll restore you to health, heal you of your wounds. It's in the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible. It's all through the Bible. We got healing over the name of God. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. We have healing through the blood of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, by Jesus' stripes we're made whole. We have healing through a covenant with God. He has a covenant with us. We have healing in the anointing, healing in the kingdom, healing in the gifts of the Spirit. We have healing in Revelation. Healing is everywhere. It is God's. God looks down and sees that sin and Satan has marred his creation. He wants to heal. So the first thing you got to settle in your mind, you want to pray for the sick. There should be no question of the will of God. God wants to heal. Unless God reveals to me he doesn't, I assume he does. Some people do it the opposite. They assume God doesn't want to heal unless he reveals he does. You'll see less healings that way. God always wants to heal. The Bible says in James, if any of you are sick, let them come to the elders of the church. Let them anoint with oil, prayer, offering of faith will make the sick person well. If any of you sick, it would have been worded differently if God wasn't really serious about healing a lot of folks. He wouldn't say, if any of you are sick, let them come before the elders of the church. It'd be say, well, on certain occasions, certain ones of you know who you are, you righteous ones, come forward, we'll get healed. All you other folks, hey, just live with it. You know, that's not how this thing works. God is serious. So first thing, you got to settle the issue in your mind. God is a healer. It's who he is. So if it's who he is, it's what he does. Healing isn't just what God does. It's who he is. If you're going to move in healing, right? I'm saving us a lot of time because this could be a whole session. Establish Jehovah Rapha in your mind. He wants to heal. Healing ought to be normative for us. That ought to be the normal Christian experience. Every place, how many of you would agree Jesus was the will of God in flesh? He modeled the perfect will of God, right? How often do you see Jesus healing? If God wasn't serious about healing, Jesus would not be doing it. He said to one of the disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? Everyone, now get this. No one who ever came to Jesus for healing was turned away sick. No one. Even people out of covenant, Syrophoenician woman, out of covenant, got healing for her kid because she came at Jesus. Be persistent. You want to see healing? Be persistent. Because initially, you're learning to cooperate, right? You're learning to cooperate. The gift of healing is perfect. But your ability to flow in that gift is a process of development. So it's going to seem sketchy at first, but just go with it. Go with it. Yes. More miracles to me take place outside the church than in the church. But I'm an evangelist. I don't know. That's my observation. But it is also Jesus's and the book of Acts. I think when you get the lost in the equation, let me put it like that. So get lost people to come to SB. Get some people that don't know the Lord here. You'll seriously. If people knew this secret, this would change church growth. You see more miracles when there's the presence of lost people. I believe that absolutely Jesus will heal people who are sick. In fact, I think he's more, I believe the anointing is greater on you to see healing over folks that don't know the Lord because it's a demonstration of the gospel. So absolutely, absolutely, okay? Here is an important thing as it relates to healing as well, okay? Establishing your mind, it's the will of God. Understand your growth or fluency in the gift of healing or praying for people, the anointing of healing is a process. You're not going to start off typically raising the dead. If you do, I'll sit down, you come up here and teach because, man, we need to hear from you. Your way is a better way, trust me. You probably don't do that because it takes different levels of faith to see different healings. I started off, I had runny nose faith. You had a runny nose, I could get you healed, baby, by the grace. You had an earache, man, I had earache faith. But God dropped me off with a woman blind in front of me just to teach me something. I prayed for her, man. It was her faith. She got healed. Somebody needs to have faith in the equation. She had it. I did not have it.
I had runny nose, ringing ear faith. She was born blind. I pray for this woman. Her eyes popped open. It will wreck you when you look in someone's eyes that was milky, and all of a sudden they got irises and pupils formed. They're looking at you. Drop their walking cane and start going around. And then this woman had a 12-year-old granddaughter with her. And the look on her face as she held her grandmama's walking stick and tears came down her eyes, that is indelibly imprinted upon my spirit. I see that all the time. It's worth it. You see one of them, you're wrecked. I could pray for 100 people straight that do not get well. I'm still going to be praying for the sick because it's worth it for that one. Now, again, I'm not saying that it has to be your, but you, if you're persistent, you're not going to be. This is a challenge. We are results focused, but you can't always be result driven. You have to be sense and mission of God driven. So when a person doesn't get well, my friend passed of cancer. I've seen cancer leave folks' body. I've seen people get cancer free, praying, laying hands on them. I've seen many miracles. I've seen every miracle but dead raised. I there was a man that was having a heart attack on the ground, turned all kind of shades of purple, and I think he's about to check out, and God stopped his heart attack on the spot. So that's about as close. But I've seen AIDS healed, where they went to the doctor. All this stuff, doctor verified. I've seen a person that had their back fused to a rod, bend over, totally healed. I've seen MS. They say, you know, obviously brain cells are the one cells in your body that does not recreate, right? She had Alzheimer's, loss of memory. Went back, tested, 100% memory back. I've seen MS healed. That's a kind of scar on your brain that affects multiple scores. I've seen scoliosis. I've seen person's leg grow out. I've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears pop open. I'm at a loss of words. Oh, I saw a person grow a whole new artery in their heart, whole new artery. I mean, a doctor verified this. Obviously, you know, man, there's so many. I don't know why I'm not, man. Oh, a dude that had like this neurological damage. They were going to have to amputate his leg. We were in Utah, man. There was no atmosphere for healing, man. Some of you understand what I'm saying, right? Pray for this dude we did a meeting out there to go see people coming to the Lord. The guy got healed, gets up out of his wheelchair, starts running. 12 people walked forward, gave their life to the Lord. I've never so excited for 12 people to get saved as I did that. That is like huge in Utah, just for the record, if you don't understand that. But you always want more because I see more. We were walking across one of those things as we're going to the ferry yesterday, and I saw a guy asking for money on the other side, and his limbs were bent up. And I'm on an opposite kind of thorough walkway, and I just said, Lord, I said, heal that man, God. Heal that man, you know. And I've been at funerals, man, where I said, God, and I'm pacing back and forth. Give me the word, man. Let's go raise this dude from the dead. I feel like you got to have a word of God before you attempt to do something like that. That's creative. That's so many different things. That's the working of miracles. That's the gift of faith and gifts of healing. So you really need to get a word before you do that. So anyway, all right, got that. Let me give you something if I'm going to pray for the sick. Not a formula. Not a formula, right? I just like to talk to the person first and find out, hey, man, what's been going on, where it hurts? Jesus even did that. He talked to a guy and said, what's wrong with your kid that you're bringing up to me? Oh, man, you know, he gets thrown in fire. He gets epilepsy, da-da-da-da. So I like to talk to people because when I'm talking to them, I'm able to gauge their sense of faith. I'm able to gauge, do they want to be? You know, you get people that they'll bring their friend. Hey, would you pray for my friend? She's got whatever, whatever, whatever. And I hear that, and I looked at them. And, you know, just like God told that one, I talked to that one guy at the pool. He says, do you wish to be made whole? They need to have a desire to be healed. Now, if she's unconscious and she's out, then I feel like, okay, then it her will is not able to be exercised. We're just going to exert the will of healing on her right now, right? But I think it's important that you talk to the person first and find out what's wrong, and you're gauging that they want to be. I've asked people before, hey, man, be okay if I pray for you? No. Okay, well, that ends that. We just pray from a distance, you know, because obviously you're not giving me permission. You can still get healed, but it's just going to happen differently. So you first talk to the person. As you're talking, listen to the Holy Spirit, right? You're not just listening to them. You may want to ask them, what is it? Where does it hurt? What's the name of it? Some people try to give you this long, like, detail. You don't have to be able to pronounce. There's some strange stuff, and you feel bad you can't pronounce it right, so they're not going to get healed. God ain't going to heal them because you couldn't pronounce their disease right. No, man. No. Where you get that from? Lord, that thing he just said, God, heal them of that. I've done that and seen them get healed before. I'm serious. I see that it's nothing like that. So find out what's wrong. You talk to the person. Second thing, I think, and again, I don't want to even say second thing. It sounds like one, two, three, but you understand what I'm saying. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you how this person is going to get healed. I think some people don't do that. They automatically assume that. And sometimes people aren't healed. Not, we would assume if they didn't get healed, or it wasn't God's will to heal you, brother, just keep seeking God. You know what happened? The disciples couldn't see a boy healed. They assumed that Jesus came down off the mountain, healed the boy. Right? You remember that? The man said, hey, man, I brought this guy to your disciples thinking they can heal him. And Jesus said, you know, you got unbelief, man. What's going on here? And I think it was twofold. I think it was some of that was directed at the disciple and some was obviously directed at the dad too a little bit. He comes down and heals the boy. So that proves it was God's will. They just didn't partner with the Holy Spirit. He told them this type comes out praying fast. And they asked him later, why didn't we cast him out? He said, because of your unbelief. Notice when no one else around, they asked him, why couldn't we do that? Learn to partner. So ask the Holy Spirit, how's this going? Sometimes that happens by waiting. Like we're starting to pray. Let's just wait. Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you. Just come bring your presence. And then you're dialing. Say, okay, Holy Spirit, how does it happen? Sometimes God will give you a picture. You close your eyes and you'll just see it. You'll see a picture. Sometimes you get an impression. That's why I like to a lot of times flow off words of knowledge. Sometimes I'll get a sympathetic pain. Like I'll just be walking and all of a sudden I'll feel like something in my hip. And I'll just go, right now, there's somebody here, you're getting healed in your hip, and all of a sudden somebody stand up. You check sympathetic pain. Sometimes that'll be in your workplace, your office place, out wherever you're at, your Starbucks, man. You know, just ask. I walked up to strangers and said, by any chance, do you have a back problem? Yeah, I do. How did you know that? You know? I don't want to go into full detail. I just say God told me, it's like my back is feeling your pain, brother. Can we pray real quick? You know, I'm getting a sympathetic pain, you know. So ask the Holy Spirit. That's simple. The next one is make declarations by faith. So I just like to quote scripture. And then I like to declare, you know, there's certain people. I was talking to a guy that really sees signs and wonders, right? I don't want to name drop. I said, why don't you think, man, we see more? He says, you know what? And he said it to me. It was just like profound. He says, most even Christians that want healing, they could tell you more names of evangelists or ministers that move in healing than they know healing scriptures. So everybody goes to so-and-so's crusade expecting to get healed, and they do. But if you don't have the word of God in you, you don't have that expectancy from the word. Your expectation is on a man's gift. If you had the word of God, your demand would be upon God himself. I'm not saying that God doesn't use people, okay? That's a given. You know that's what I'm communicating. But, hey, memorize some healing scriptures. Get your little book of some healing scriptures. I got it on my cell phone, which is not working here. I got it on my computer. I got, man, healing scripture on a little Rolodex. I got them on 3x5 cards. Man, my daughter is battling with a serious illness. And she just had a dream 3 nights ago. She told my wife, and my wife was telling me, man, and I got all choked up. So I'm gathering myself right now. She said, in this dream, she's telling my wife, I had this tattoo, which when my wife first told me that, I'm like, she ain't getting no tattoos. My baby is not getting no tattoo. She had tattooed from right underneath her right arm all the way down her right side and her rib, and it said, daughter, your faith has made you well. And it is a scripture. I just rejoice, man. That's make faith declarations. I just declare right now this disease goes in Jesus' name. I just declare, God, that your name is a name that's above cancer. Your name is a name that's above sciatica. Your name is a name that's above sugar diabetes. I just declare right now, Jesus, you are greater. I declare the anointing of God. You decree that thing. You make faith declarations. The power, get this, the word of God coming out of your mouth is as powerful as the word of God coming out of his mouth. All right, next thing. I think this is very important. Utilize a point of contact. Most times that's laying on of hands. because that helps you and them. And I ask sometimes, is okay if I place my hand upon you? Because again, you've got to get permission, because especially society, you don't know, somebody's been raped, somebody's had bad experience. This would conjure up something in their mind of just a real bad thing. So, hey, you don't want to, that's not going to help them get, you know what I'm saying? You want to help people get healed. You don't want to, like, cause them to need more healing once you leave, right? So you find out. And I can assess, I pray for enough, I can assess when people are, like, real shy people. So I may not do that in front of a lot of people. I try to make it comfortable for them as much as I could. Sometimes when I could tell, and you just pick up on this, I could tell certain people I'm not going to be able to go into my kick-in Shondai voiceover, Lord, I just pray, Lord, which you don't have to do that anyway. Sometimes I'll just whisper, Jesus, I just thank you. Maybe somebody else I'll sense, and I can be a little more heavy-handed and pray and just come. But it's amazing. You just begin to pick that up on people. But the key, again, I want to get back to this, is utilize a tipping point. Many times Jesus just said a word. Said, be made whole. So I like to utilize that a lot of times. I'll do this thing where I'll say on three, we're going to say be made whole. One, two, three. Be made whole. And people are laying hands on people. Boom, miracles start breaking out. Why? It was a point of contact. It was like, if you will, they released their faith in that moment, right? Great example. Jesus walks up to a dude at a pool. He says, do you wish to be made whole? And the guy, instead of saying yes, that's the right answer, right? He says, I have no man to bring me into water. What happens is, legend had it, if you will, history even, that an angel would come down and stir the waters. Whoever was the first to get in the water would be healed. Well, this dude was paralyzed, right? So he's messed up. The dude with a bad ear could beat you running because you can't run, right? So he's getting healed. Then the next person, they got whatever. Anybody that can move is going to beat you because you need a person to pick you up. He's telling you his point of contact. What it takes for him to be healed is he needs a man. I have no man. Some people don't get healed because they're putting off healing on something else. When the music is played just right, I get goosebumps and I feel my hair standing on end. If I, again, and this is not a dig on this, but this is how people, if Benny Hinn calls me out on television on his This Is Your Day telecast, and I know his daughter, she's my friend on Facebook and friends with my kids, and great. I appreciate it. Love God, love his ministry. So that's I can use his name because I do. I appreciate it. But we put that off rather than saying, this is what happened one time. Jesus meets a centurion, and the centurion said, Jesus, my servant is home. He's at the point of death. Would you heal him? And Jesus said, okay, I'll come to your house. And the dude says, no, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. You say the word, my servant is healed. He says, I'm a man under authority. Notice this. He didn't say, I'm a man that exercises authority. I like he said, I'm a man under authority. Power flows who people are in right relationship with authority. He says, I'm a man under authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes. This one, come, and he comes. You speak the word. Jesus said, I've not found such great faith in all, basically. This is huge. Your guy is healed. Now, boom. And then I had a discovery of what this was, and we're done. I got one last thing, and we're going to pray. This guy, the centurion, was a commander-in-chief in the natural. He said, I go to this one. Says, this one, go. You go. This one, come. You come. But this is what he was acknowledging. Jesus, I acknowledge that you're a commander-in-chief in the spirit realm. You say sickness go, pain goes, healing comes, restoration comes. It must happen. All you got to do is say it. Just like the men have to obey my voice, demons and sicknesses have to obey yours. So you just speak the word. He changed the point of contact from it having to be God going all the distance and putting his hand and having everything be just right, Jesus in your house, right atmosphere and everything, to like you just speak the word. Let's build up our faith for our point of contact can simply be the word of God. We got the word right here. That's all you need to get healed. One word from God, that's all they need. You walk on water with a come. Hello? You guys still with me, right? All right, let me see. Was that? Oh, yeah, final thing, okay? Establish point of contact. The final thing is I would just say check the healing process. Just ask. Sometimes I ask. I was in Florida, got a word back. Girl got healed of scoliosis, right? Chronic back pain along with her scoliosis. Stood up, prayed for her, and she's just like kind of standing there looking like if I judge in the natural, which you can't do with this stuff, it would seem like nothing's happening, right? I walk over to her because I just feel faith, like, no, something is happening. Devil, you are a liar. So Bernice, she was about where you were, so I walked back there, and I just happened to ask her, I don't know if this thing's going to go off, and I said, okay, on a scale of 0 to 100, 0 being you feel all kind of pain, it's terrible, and 100% means no pain, you're totally healed, where would you be at? And I put the mic on her. It's a little bit of risque, but it's not risky. Because if she tells me, oh, it's still hurting, we're just going to pray some more. Put the mic on her. She goes, well, 100%, I'd feel no pain. I mean, she was just like that. She was experiencing such a profound miracle. That's just how she would be great in playing poker, right? Because she had a poker face. You would never know the card. Her mom emailed me and thanked me, and she's been pain-free and healed of scoliosis ever since. So check the process. Sometimes faith requires an activity. Ask them to bend. Ask them to move. Check. Look for healing. So, all right. Right back there? Yeah? You may have to get a mic back there.
My question is that when you pray for a child...
Pray for a child, yes.
For them to be healed. And when they're not a believer, and you pray for a child for them to be healed, and you tell them God loves them, and they're not healed, how do you explain?
How do you explain it? You know what? And your name is? Mary? Let me tell you something, Mary. I'm living that. My daughter has been 4 years, and it will be coming into a fifth year where this teenager, her entire high school career, has had a disease that has a diminishing aspect that would be very visible. She has to wear something that kind of hides it. I have to sit with my baby girl a lot. I go out and see all kinds of miracles, and I come back home to a child. How do you explain to that child? And this is what I do because this is exactly what I've done. And I say that, Mary, because I can be sensitive to that because I know some people try to, you know, make it like this is a formula or make it feel like you just, if you just had enough faith, that is, that honestly, I don't ever think that should come out of a person's mouth towards praying for someone that you didn't have enough faith. If anything, that person who's saying that probably should have more faith. You should see. But this is what I tell her. I said, this is it. God's heart of mercy, it's towards you. We're going to keep believing, and we're not done. This is a fight. See, healing is part war, part mystery, and all mercy. It's war, and sometimes it takes a longer fight. That scripture right there that came down tattooed, I think that tattoo was about God is imprinting this on my daughter's spirit. She has on her Facebook that scripture that talks about those of you that have undergone trials or something, that you come forth as precious gold. I'm butchering the scripture. But this is on her Facebook because she's had to battle in that way. So what you tell a child is God is still God. He's still wanting to heal. But the devil many times will fight over things that God wants to release in your life. Now, unless God tells you differently, if God says it's going to be unto a timing, you know, like sometimes there's timing for healing. You know, Jesus walked past the temple a lot where that guy in Acts 3 that got healed, but Jesus didn't heal that guy. Peter and John healed that guy. Why? I don't know. That's, remember, healing is part war, part mystery, all mercy. So I always appeal to the mercy of God. I say, God, on your mercy, don't ever try to do it on merit. Well, God, I've been a good Christian, so I deserve to be healed of this. Maybe you have been a good Christian, but I'm not going to say this of anyone else. I'll say this of me. I don't think I've been that good of a Christian that I, in my own righteousness, have warranted healing. It's always mercy. But understand, it is a war. It is a battle. And that is the reality. That question is right timing, right on, because that's true. Some people shy away from healing ministry because they don't like the fact that it's war sometimes. When Moses lifted his arms, they were fighting in the valley, God's people in the battle. The tide went in this direction. When his arms got tired, man, the battle started beating back. It's like tug of war. That's what I picture this sometimes. And so was it Aaron and Hur had to come and help lift up Moses' hands. And sometimes your healing is about a tug of war. But this is the thing, I think, is that number one, you have, especially with young children, you have to keep expressing to them, God loves you. God loves you. And we're going to keep praying.
And we're going to, some things just take longer than other things. And sometimes what happens is it becomes, for a child, it can become more special in a sense that it took a while, but they got it. It builds their faith because God is looking at destinies. He can do immediate healings. He could do process healings. And the Bible says these signs will follow them that believe. You'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That implies a process. If a healing happens in a moment, it's really a miracle. But every time I pray, I believe healing is imparted. Unless God tells me otherwise, I believe it. Now, if their healing manifests today, next week, next year, it's going to matter. And this is how you got to believe like this. You know, you secrets of successful people, right? You find out empowering beliefs. CEOs think certain things. Great salespeople think certain ways. There's a mentality. You have to have a mentality that you carry the juice. That's what the word says. When you lay hands, something's going to happen. So Mary, when you pray for your child and you lay hands, God is doing something. And the Bible says healing is children's bread. All the more that I think God wants to heal children. But because it's a war, you assure them of God's love for them. You assure them of God's power and help them to understand that this one may take longer, but we're going to see this thing through. Now, again, what's the other level? The other level is that healing may not come in this life. Have I ever thought that as it relates to my daughter? I thought of it. I've just not accepted it. I'm not going to accept that, right? But again, I think that has to be our posture, because you accept it and it becomes part of your furniture. You identify now with that, and I don't want to do it. And proof is, my wife keeps getting promise from the Lord. He's going to do this. So press in and ask the Holy Spirit, instead of just asking that your child or whoever it is would be healed. Ask now, Holy Spirit, how do you want to heal my child? And that is when it starts getting fun. I asked the Holy Spirit that with Brittany, my daughter. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, faith. That's how it's going to happen. So I said, okay. Then that's why I can't waver. I can't waver. We need to stand strong. And man, this has been a battle. And the devil is going to lose. He's already lost. Great question. And what's your child or that child's name?
Chinese.
Okay, let's just agree for that child. Is it okay for you to share what the child has that we're believing healing for?
So he's an orphan in China.
Okay.
And his name is, it's quite tough to pronounce. His name is Su Chun. You can call him Chun. Chun.
Chun. And what does Chun need to be healed of?
His eyes, they don't... He has really bad vision, and it's not something that eyeglasses can solve.
Okay.
And so when he looks at a person, his eyeballs quiver from side to side, and he doesn't see anything clearly, but there's no operation, and it's not something that eyeglasses can resolve. So,
I had a girl in France healed of that very same thing. There is a name for it, but I don't remember the name. She got healed on the spot. So Trent, okay?
Yeah.
We'll pray for Trent. Let's agree right now. Father, we lift up Trent to you right now. Orphan, China, I've heard. Lord, we just lift up Trent. And God, we don't know what this thing is, but Father, we just declare right now in Jesus' name that you are the healer. You are Jehovah Rapha. We just declare that you sit above, God, whatever this condition is with the eyes. We don't ask. We command a spirit of infirmity to be broken off of Chen. We speak to his eyes, eye muscles. Lord, the ability to focus, see things. Lord, 2020 vision, we just declare right now in Jesus' name, be made whole. And God, we just declare, God, whatever it is, whatever root, whatever, Lord, you know what it is. And we just declare right now, God, your word is Psalms 107, verse 20. You sent forth your word to heal Chen's disease. So we send forth the word of healing right now, wherever he's at. We say to the Lord, someone here is in position to say to someone, come, and they'll come, go, and he goes. We acknowledge in the spirit realm, that's how you operate. So we say right now, this eye condition must go, healing must come, and we just declare Jesus is the commander-in-chief in that realm in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to impart because we have gone late and you guys got to go. But let me just say this something. It says, I see you standing in front of a map. And you're kind of trying to decide the where. and almost even the when. And God says, press into the who, and you'll know the when and the where. You'll know exactly. Just press into the who. Jesus has got something for you in this season. It's a real special season for you. Does that mean something to you? Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were going to say something?
Oh, yeah. I was sitting here, and I was talking. I was like, God, would you just tell me what I'm doing, like, where I'm at in my... Something we said was, like, the uncertainty of I'm in one season, or I'm in the back season, or, you know, I've got to be in this season. So I'm like, God, well, where am I? What am I doing? What I need to do?
Amen. Amen. God knows. Let's do this. Let's first pray for the sick. Let's find out. We got some sick folks here. Somebody needs healing. If you're here and you got a sickness, again, I could step and try to call out sickness and everything, but what I want to do is get to praying for you for impartation. So you got faith. We've taught on it. So let's just go for it. If you need healing in your body, stand up right now. If you need healing, anybody, any kind of healing, I don't care if it's a back, knee, you got a hip, whatever it is, you got a liver problem, heart problem, you got allergies, you got... blood condition. Now we got some folks standing. Come on now. You need healing? Stand up, whatever it is. If you got prayed for before and you're kind of one of them people, well, I got prayed for before. I just have to believe I'm healed. Jesus prayed for a guy twice. Prayed for a dude, says, what do you see? He said, I see men looking like trees. He said, okay, dude, we need to pray again, right? So we will pray again for you. It's biblical. All right. Everyone needs healing, lift your hand up, right? All right. People sitting down, go find somebody right now with their hand up. Go to them right now. Come on. We may have... It may be about 50-50, so we need all hands on deck if you believe in healing. If you don't, okay, we might need someone to lay hands on two folks. We need some guys. We need some men to come up here. We get a guy, Kurt, you come up here and lay hands on Michael. We got another guy. If no one comes to you, if someone's laying hands on you, put your hands down. That way we'll find out who still needs some people. All right, we got somebody. Oh, we got the sound people. We got the sound folks. Somebody go back there and lay hands on two people then so somebody could go lay hands on them. Now, ask that person, what are we believing for? Come on, just ask them. What are you believing for? What do you need healing? If it's like some long-term, hard to pronounce, scientific thing, just tell them where it hurts sometimes. Tell them where it's centered at. And if it is appropriate, place your hand in that area. All right. If it's appropriate, place your hand in the area. If not, ask them to put their hand there. You put your hand over their hand. So, all right? You do that? Now, I want you to begin to pray. You know what it is. You guys begin to pray. Lord, I just pray, God, and we're going to lay hands for impartation. But I pray, Lord, right now, there's a mantle for healing in the room. We preached Jesus the healer. We preached on sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, the supremacy of God. And so, Lord, we just release right now that healing virtue in this room, in this part, in these parts of people's bodies. And Lord, we just begin to pray. Now you begin to pray out loud. You pray now. Come on. You should be praying out loud. Pray loud. Let them hear you. Nothing wrong with that. No, this is not a time for whisper prayers. Father, we just declare right now, we curse every spirit of infirmity. We break every yoke of sickness. We say every symptom of sickness and disease, you must go in Jesus' name. Lord, you said that them that fear your name, that the Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in his wings. So we just declare right now, healing to this part of their body. Sickness, go. Healing, come. Lord, we just speak to bones. Let bones be made whole. Joints, problems with ankles, knees, hips, shoulders, any bone condition, bone problems, we command to be made whole. We speak to blood problems, blood conditions, blood deficiencies, blood levels, blood sugar problems. We command right now healing to come to your blood. Healing. We speak to those who have respiratory problems, problems with breathing, bronchitis, Lord, asthma, allergies, something that affects their breathing. We say right now to the bronchial tubes, to the lungs, we command them to line up with the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We speak right now to eyes and ears, and ability to see and to hear. And God, problems that it would affect that. And we say, be made whole. We speak to backs. We command ligaments and tendons and muscles to be lengthened and strengthened. We command your spine to be straightened. Your brain stem right now, straighten up in Jesus' name. We speak right now to those who have got heart problems, heart conditions. Lord, problems with internal organs. We say, let healing come. Those who got skin problems. Somebody here's got a skin condition.
skin problem, like a psoriasis, something like that. Lord, we just curse that in Jesus' name. We command the skin to heal and to be restored like baby skin in Jesus' name. Now, Father, right now, those have chronic headaches, migraines, cluster headaches, problems, Lord, in that area. We say, Lord, the blood vessels in the brain, we pray right now that they will reduce, they would not swell, and that, God, that they will return to that perfection you intended when you created. And we pray stomach, digestive problems, digestive conditions. We say, let healing come. Now, come on. If it's here and it's not God, we're casting it out right now. Now, I found healing go to another level when I do this. So I'm going to do this as you're praying. Lord, we speak to every spirit of infirmity. We break your power, sever your hold, and we say healing virtue. Now, right now, there's a healing river. It's like right now, just step into a river. It's Ezekiel's river. Wherever the river goes, there's healing. Just step in it. Lord, now let healing flow right now. Go ahead. Just begin to think right there. There it is. Healing, healing, Jesus. Healing flow. Healing virtue. Healing power. Somebody might be getting some pictures. You might be getting an impression. Someone might feel a warmth. If you're sensing God in an area, and I would encourage you to keep your eyes open while you're praying for the sick, just so you can observe. You can kind of begin to tell. You might close your eyes for a while, but open your eyes up and look time to time. You're sensing something. Just share it with the person you're praying for. Just do that. Sometimes you might be getting a prophetic word while praying for healing. This often happens. Holy Spirit is speaking. He is moving because you've asked. And if you ask, he's not going to give you something else. So go ahead. Speak to that person now. Holy Spirit, just reveal right now as we're standing. Reveal. There it is right there. Mm. Deaf ears pop open in Jesus' name. Ringing stops right now. Whew, man. Power of God. I got so many names. Kurt, place your hand right here. The power of God is all over him, man. He is in. Power of God is right on you, bro. Close your eyes. Father, right there. Father, in Jesus' name, all over him. Let your power just flood him. Come on, three. Just get ready. One, two, three. Right there in Jesus' name. Flood him. There's his power. Right there. We just bless him. We bless him. Increase, increase. Just begin to declare. Just declare healing over him right now. Just make him say, we just declare you're healed right now. We just declare God's power. Lord, manifest right there, right there, right there. Just begin to declare it. Begin to acknowledge. Sometimes you're going to sense God's presence. Be bold with it. Just acknowledge it and say, God, we just release your presence right now. We just sense, God, you're doing something. We release it right there, right there. Throat problems, throat conditions, gums, teeth, jaws. All right. Now, if you're praying for the sick, lift your hand off for a second. Look at your hand right now. You guys ready? Point at your hand if you're praying for the sick. Point at your hand. Say this right now. Say, this hand has become the hand of Jesus. Healing is in this hand. As I'm rightly related to Christ, I'm an extension of him. When I lay this hand on someone, they will get healed. According to Mark 16. And I believe that. Faith fills my heart. Now lift this hand up. Jesus, empower me for healing miracles, creative miracles, like I've never seen before. I receive a mantle, an impartation for signs, wonders, and miracles, unusual miracles, in Jesus' name. I just felt God. Somebody's feeling God in their hand, right? Okay, now we're on three. We're going to place our hand on that person we were praying on, and we're going to say, be made whole. Watch, something's going to happen right now. People stand around beside, put a hand on the lower back of some people around you just in case, just in case. We're going to count to three, and we're going to put this hand on it. And it's loaded now. Like, it was loaded before, but it's really loaded. It's like semi-automatic weaponry in the spirit now. Okay, we're going to count to three. We're going to put it back on, and we're going to say, be made whole. Get ready. One, two, three. Be made whole. Ooh, right there. Yes. That's all right. That's all right. Keep your hand there. Keep praying. Right there. Right there. Expect now. This is the cool part. That person is expecting. Your expectancy rises. You receive more. Now, here's what we want you to do right now. If you can, some people can test it, some people can't. Look for healing right now. Begin to move or do something you couldn't do. Again, you get what you look for. Don't look for pain. Don't look for the sickness. Look for healing. Really, this is so important because the enemy tries to get you to look for your pain, and it's a window for him to put it back on you. So begin to look for healing. Begin to do what you couldn't do. Some people, you can't test it now. You'll go to a doctor. We'll see. But if you can, just check right now. Right here, you're feeling good right now, right? Right now. Like a scale of 0 to 100. 100, no pain, feeling great. Where are you?
Good.
100%. Come on. Come on. There's somebody. Anybody else? Somebody else. You said, hey, when you checked, you're healed. Or you felt the healing power come upon you. And you. Anybody wave if you felt that. Come on. There we go. Somebody else. Anyone else? Just two people. I have a feeling more people than that felt God's healing power. I understand. If you can't check it, that's cool right now. Go to the doctor. We'll find out. But there's a healing virtue in this house. All right. Here's what, if you want, again, we pray this impartation, but let me see. How can we best do this? Stay seated. Kurt and you join me. We're just going to go lay hands on them right where they're seated. We're not going to pray long as a lot of people are here. We're just going to lay hands. Do us and God, by positioning yourself, a big favor. Expect that when we lay hands on you, there's going to be an impartation. Just expect it. You don't have to fall out. You don't have to shake. You may shake. You're sitting down. You probably won't fall out the chair. But it didn't have to be that. Again, our point of contact is that we will lay hands on you. It's not ours to give. It's his to give. But he wants us to flow like that. I always get men and women of God that flow in anything to lay hands on me. We used to have this joke, but it wasn't really a joke. When anybody that had any kind of anointing on their life, we'd play like we were going to give them high five. Come on. And I'd put our head in. Yeah. Seriously, that's how it worked. And we used to, I received that in Jesus' name. And we got it. They didn't know. All right? So we're going to do that. Kurt, you take that side. I'll take this side going back. And then we'll switch and we'll come back up. So it's just going to be pretty quick. We're not going to take long because they're going to get laid hands twice. So, Father, right now, God, Kurt and I, we just believe right now as we lay hands that, God, that they're going to stir up the power of God. There'll be a new release of signs and wonders and miracles. And we just pray in Jesus' name, miracles and supernatural flow and impartation in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on.